This is PFW in Progress.
Look awful. Those clothes. Those shoes. You smell.
Do you realize where I've been since yesterday? They beat me up and stole my clothes. Those men wanted to have sex with me.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed.
Paul Perillo.
Happy New Year!
Oh, well, that's kind of you, son. And a Happy New Year to you, too. Could I offer either of you two gentlemen a wee jolt of Irish whiskey to usher in the new year?
Steve Jackie!
Son, thank you very much. No, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
Oh.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jacuzzi, sir.
You see, man, I knew y'all was man. You ain't jacuzzi nobody.
It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
Andy Hart.
Hey, Bubbles, man. Say, man, when I was growing up, we want jacuzzi. We had to fart in the tub. This is bad.
Some guy named Tom.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha! Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks. Ha 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 ha! Keep checking time.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm 24 years old. I'm from a small, miserable little mining town you probably never heard of. The only thing I got going for me in this whole big, wide world is this body, this face, and what I got up here. I don't do drugs. I've saved 42 grand, and it's in T-bills, earning interest. I figure I got 3 more years on my back. I'll have enough to retire on.
PFW in Progress.
Looking good, Billy Ray!
Feeling good, Lewis!
Okay, well, I'm feeling good. This is Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. PFW in Progress, our Friday show.
And Gary ran that opening for me. For the
sex with
men.
The men?
Yeah, because the guy that wants to eat me like a sandwich or whatever. That's
he said you
out.
Look like a delicious chicken parm.
Yeah, that is really freaking me out. But but I do have some news to report.
Okay.
Now, Mike, you might not. Mike Felger's here. You might not know this, but let's say a couple of months ago, I made an innocent comment. I said, boy, that Ben Watson.
Nothing you say is innocent.
I said, boy, that Ben Watson's jacked. I said, I wish I looked like that, meaning that I go to the gym nonstop, but I'll never have that kind of physique. It just won't happen. So today in the locker room, Andy Hart is talking to me about Marquise Hill's boobs, saying, look, the guy's got boobs. Then he talks about the fullback Hill, and he says, your boy Hill over there does not look like a fullback. And I said, what do you mean? He said, look at his body. It's not a fullback's body. So Andy Hart, who's always making fun of me,
right,
is sitting there critiquing bodies. And right after he's done, Paul Perillo walks up and says, how old's Vinny Testaverde? Like 110? Man, he's got a great body for his age. So those two are always getting on me. And if you had a gun to my head, I'd say Andy and Paul probably got something going together anyway.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get PFW banned from the locker room. This has to stop.
Yeah, those two are.
You guys, you know, can't walk around talking about guys' bodies.
It's a bunch of DWs in here.
Exactly.
It's Andy Hart. He's looking at everyone, ranking them.
Wow.
Talking about boobs on men.
Oh, man. That's not good. Not good.
Pretty soon someone's going to call him a hunk and want to eat him like a sandwich.
Who was the verdict on Brandon Gorin?
Brandon Gorin was disgusting. The day he got traded, I was so happy so I didn't have to see his naked butt in the locker
room.
Oh, yeah.
Man, was he gross.
What is wrong with you people?
And naked every day.
Every day. Well, Felger, if you were in the locker room ever, you would know that he would just walk around naked. There's nothing you can do. The guy's 300 pounds. You're going to notice.
I still go in the locker room, but I find that no one will talk to me. So what's the
well,
point
no
of me
one
standing?
Will talk to you at the press conference either.
Right, exactly. So I'm sort of relegated to this little studio back here.
Next question.
Exactly.
I stopped going in a long time ago. I go in. I just walk around just to see who's talking.
I was doing a story on Corey Dillon, so in order to get him to talk, I had to email a question to the PR department, and then they asked him for me.
Really?
Did he answer?
Yeah, amazingly.
Did he answer? Or
well, it was him. I got him directly talking about the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't give a
what did he say?
It would be an honor for him, and that he can't believe he's ahead of a guy like OJ, who he used to watch. And
I mean, you should be able to make a case for the guy.
Well, I talked to some voters. That's the story we're doing. And when you talk to the voters and then break down, like I looked at the list and his numbers and everything, well, he's got a strong case.
Sure. There's only one guy ahead of him who's not in it, and it's Thurman Thomas.
And Clayton believes he'll get in this year for sure.
Really?
He said he thought he should have been in last year, but he says this year he'll be in.
Well, if Thurman Thomas is in with...
Well, that's what some of the voters said. If Thomas gets in, that really helps Dylan's case.
Right,
to
sure,
get in.
Because then everyone that he's in the group
because
with
he should go up at least if he plays another year he should go up at least one more spot, which
sure.
means he'll finish 13th in the NFL in rushing, and all 12 guys ahead of him will be in or will go into the Hall of Fame,
and a couple behind him.
Right.
Oh yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
That's
many
the, that's
him.
The key. Yeah. So well, we'll see. That's the true test of how friendly were you with the media, if that has any bearing
well, according
on
to
how
those
they
guys,
vote.
It's not supposed to have any bearing.
Well,
yeah, the NFL, O.J. Simpson's still in the Hall. There is no
right
off the field.
For,
although I did notice at Buffalo they took his name, they took
did
his
they?
Picture down in the press box, wherever it appeared.
He's still up in the stadium. In
yeah,
the
they took. He's still up in the ring there.
I mean, but
yeah,
but let's be honest, Dylan wasn't accused of a double homicide.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as
right.
still as
right.
ornery as he can be, let's
yeah.
you know,
let's not compare him to O.J. Simpson. Although I know. A few here would, but that's.
Who? But when you look when you look at his career, I think it was 2000. They were 4-12, and he had 1,400 and some yards rushing on a 4-12 team. I mean, that's a pretty impressive season.
It is, and I think now that he he actually helped a team win a Super Bowl as well.
And,
that's on his resume.
And Borges said that he
yeah.
said the Super Bowl ring is huge because with that,
yeah.
with Hall of Fame voters, that's a big deal.
And while we're talking about Pro Bowl. Mid-January is when they announced the final cut, and we're hoping Andre Tippett makes that cut. The final 16, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it went to 25 to 10.
No.
But, I was talking.
I think it's 16. Yeah.
It's the 15, isn't it?
Well, they added one.
It's
is
one.
They add one for the old-time.
But I was talking to just so interesting fact. I was talking to some of the voters, and they admitted that a couple of guys who vote won't vote for players on certain teams, no matter how good they are.
Really?
Yeah. They have a bias against a certain team.
Oh, well, see, the Cowboys people are all paranoid of that. I've read this before. Get over yourself.
Well, it happens. It might happen to be true, Mike,
please.
From the people I've talked. Do you vote? Have you talked to anybody?
Did Rayfield Wright get in last year? Or am I
after 35 that? Years, yeah, the senior committee voted him in. All I know is that Michael Lervin was on the fence last year, and I was told that a couple of people who vote refuse to vote for Cowboy players, and it hurts guys like Irvin because they won't vote for anybody
Boy,
who
Irvin.
Plays
Irvin
for the Cowboys.
So
very
good.
Excited to be a Dallas
yeah, but
Cowboy.
Bottom line, should Irvin be in there?
But I was told a lot of the voters think he should be. I'm not giving you my personal opinion. I'm telling you what was told to me.
Okay.
This isn't my opinion. I believe Irvin's on the fence and could go either way,
okay.
like Andy Hart. But it was told to me that a lot of the voters believe he should be in, but there's two people that
in
don't vote
opinion,
that will not vote for him. And when you're a guy that's close either
right.
way, that hurts you.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But that goes to show you that the personal biases.
It's ridiculous.
If somebody doesn't like Corey Dillon, although the guy from Cincinnati loves Corey Dillon, he's in total support of him, said he was the best player he covered over that span.
Who is the guy in Cincinnati?
Chick Ludwig.
Okay.
He's in the story. He total support of Corey Dillon.
Cool. Well, it'd be nice. Now, would he go in as a Bengal or a Patriot, do you think? Or do you do that in the NFL? You don't really go in as a team in the NFL, do
no,
you?
No, you don't.
No. You just go in as a team.
You just have somebody represent,
yeah.
Do
yeah, the question is who represents him. Would it be Borges or would it be the person from Cincinnati?
I guess both of them make an argument.
Is oh, that really?
Right? Yes. If you play for two teams like that, they're both get up and they give you
there'd be a
argument.
Chance that my wife's cousin was his running backs coach at Cincinnati.
Oh.
Jim Anderson, so he might be the guy that
inducts him.
I know they're pretty tight.
And I'm sure, like Andre Tippett, he will thank PFW when he gets into the Hall of Fame.
Did Andre say he was going to do that?
No.
Why should he?
Our names will never get mentioned anywhere other than
nor
this
should
radio
it.
Show.
Nor should it. All right, let's get to some Patriots talk here. We were talking yesterday, a lot of confidence going on among the media and fans about this game coming up.
Led by us.
Yep. We're all picked them. Most of us picked them to cover the spread. I stand with that. I think
I wanted to use 18 points instead of 8.
This is no disrespect to the Jets. I just think the Patriots
are going to kill them. That's disrespectful.
The Patriots have gotten over their inconsistent play on the field. No disrespect. And I just think that their talent is that much better than the Jets.
Yeah, if you look,
now, if you were going to tell me that they're going to play like they played against, you know, the Lions, or turn it over like they did against the Bears,
yeah, the
obviously
Jets
the Jets are going to could
win
a
chance.
But I think all things being even, and the trend that the Patriots have shown with not turning the ball over and executing pretty well, I think they're going to win this game by a pretty good margin.
I think everyone's on the same page that while we wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots beat the Chargers or Ravens, those are the two teams they don't match up well with. Not just because they have better records, but because defensively they're aggressive, they get to the quarterback, the run, and that's the problem the Patriots are going
to
have.
But I'm excited to play either one of them because I think that this is a better team.
I'll be excited to play Baltimore. I don't want to go to San Diego.
Well, this is a better Patriot team than we saw, you know, midseason. So let's see how far they've advanced, mm-hmm. and that's the true test.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, you could, if you're playing all things equal against Baltimore, San Diego, you don't love them for the reason Tom just said, but you just must remember the week off and the home game, and that's just such a huge advantage in the league.
It's huge. People will point to the Steelers last year, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Aberration.
No, that was.
That's the aberration of the rule.
Yep.
About every 5 or 6 years, one of those wild card teams sneaks through. But otherwise, go back and look at the Super Bowl teams. They're all first and second seeds.
Anything with Belichick in his press conference today? I didn't get to hear it.
I asked him our question that we were debating about the offensive coordinator stuff, and he basically sided with Paul and I.
Which is what?
Which is what?
That the coaches are coaching the players during the week, and everybody has an impact, but it's pretty much him who has the game plan. And
Bill said it's him that has the game plan?
He didn't say that exactly.
Well, that's what you're saying. So what are you saying he sided with you?
Because he said...
Can I settle this argument?
Yeah.
Because I think Belichick makes both game plans and has for
exactly.
6 years.
Exactly. Thank you. But you side with Paul.
But
and
see,
I.
That's not the point. Should we give Josh when we say, hey, that's a great offensive game plan? Do we give Josh McDaniels the credit, or does the credit go to Bill Belichick?
Belichick.
Yes.
I just wanted to make that clear because the next time Paul doesn't want to give Belichick the credit, and he gives it to Josh McDaniels. Well, that's not Josh
McDaniels. I've never not given Belichick the credit, so I don't know why you keep arguing.
Here's the difference.
I wanted to get it on record.
Here's the difference, is that I think on
Paul's right now running down here. He's running.
The value of the offensive,
I don't know about running, but
the value of the offensive coordinator is on Sunday, and I think that's been the difference between Charlie
that's
and Josh.
That's what we were saying.
But see, now I disagree with that a
Belichick
little bit, too.
Belichick vetoes, you know, can veto or approve any play.
Absolutely.
I agree. But
yes,
it is Josh McDaniels with that sheet in front of his face.
Absolutely.
Picking which call.
But
and
don't
Bill,
you think a good...
Bill doesn't have the time to go through every single play.
I never thought we'd argue
time.
This again. But don't you think that a good offensive coordinator also helps develop the game plan during the week?
He does. He has a hand in it. Bill said that everybody has it. But Bill's the main guy.
Bill's
like,
the
they're
guy.
Talking about defensive coordinators,
look,
Fred, right?
Look, I don't
does it really matter?
Look,
it's Bill's defense. You're going to run it the way
look,
Bill wants
look,
you to.
I agree. When it comes down to the color of the underwear that they wear, Bill gets final say. He has final say on everything, including the offensive game plan. I agree with that. But I
all
do
right,
think
Felger.
That part of an – but part of it off, not
when,
just this
when they
game.
Went to Minnesota.
Wait a minute.
No, when they went to Minnesota, Felger, and they decided to spread it out, whose call is that? Is that McDaniels or Belichick?
Bill Belichick.
Thank you.
You're telling me that if Josh discovers, hey, Bill, you know what? I think if we spread them out, we're okay here. And Belichick wanted to run the football? What do you think they're doing?
Exactly.
But see, that's not what I'm arguing. And I agree with you. I think on this team it is Bill Belichick. But is that every offensive coordinator?
No.
No,
it's
every
different.
Team.
On this team.
Yes.
Yes.
Because
Belichick.
Of Belichick, because he's that good.
So
but
you agree with us.
But generally, an offensive coordinator
I don't know.
Comes up with the offensive game
I
player.
Bet it's half and half. You know, when Pete Carroll was here, it was Ernie Zampezi. And Pete didn't
right.
have
exactly.
jack to do with that. But I think the good coaches are generally, you know, have the heavy hand
well,
on both sides.
Well, let's say Baltimore, for example. It wasn't Billick up until he took
right.
it away. Right.
But with the Chiefs, I bet you Herm Edwards gives more to his coordinators than Belichick does because that's the kind of coach he is. He lets his coordinators have a bigger impact.
Well, I think the good but offensive coordinators have more of a role, not just in the game planning, I mean the play calling, but in the game planning.
Let me ask you something,
Fred. Especially these guys, Fred. I mean, Bill isn't learning from Josh, no matter what he says.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know?
And let's put it, whether it's Brian Daboll or Eric Mangini or Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick taught them how to do it his way.
Let me ask you something, Fred. the Cowboy fans wanted to run Sean Payton out of town because he ran draw plays on 3rd and 10, and I screamed and yelled, that's not him, it's Parcells. How are the Saints having any trouble scoring points? Because the Cowboys still run and draw plays on 3rd and 10. Because Bill Parcells has final say on everything. And that's the same
well,
thing
now
here.
You're saying, now you're bringing in play calling.
I'm saying he can call anything he wants.
Oh, of course he can.
And that's total control.
But he didn't veto it.
But I'm saying Herm Edwards may not do that as often because he's not quite as a control freak. He lets other people coach. There's
right.
different kinds of coaches.
Well, right. I mean, and when you say control freak, that has that negative connotation. I want Belichick.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
I'm
the guy's taking over.
I'm not saying it's bad. I want my head coach in charge of everything. I want him to know how much time's left on the clock. I want him to know how many timeouts you have left.
It depends on how good your offensive coordinator is.
No, it depends what kind of head coach you have. I agree. There are some guys. I mean, Bill Cowher, how much do you think he's really involved in the offense? I think he sets the general tone. We want to be a running team.
Right.
We want to do this and that. But
how much was he involved in the defense, for that matter?
I see him
as the
defensive
guy. The other guy gets all the credit in Dick LeBeau. Pittsburgh. Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
It's his defense.
Well,
you know?
So you're saying
I mean,
Cowher's not a very good coach?
No. I think he's
a good, different type of ways of coaching.
Right, exactly. I think he's a tone setter and a button pusher and a quote-unquote motivator. That word is used too much.
But
he's that guy as opposed to the Belichick pencil behind the ear guy.
Right, he's similar to Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson wasn't necessarily an X's and O's kind of guy. He had good coordinators, but he was a motivator.
And he knew talent, too.
Yeah, and he knew talent. Cowher is a motivator. He's a motivating kind of coach.
Yeah.
So there's different kinds of coaches, but here it's Bill.
Oh, absolutely.
And speaking of Cowher, how stupid is Pittsburgh? You know, to lose a guy like that over money.
Is it money, or does he just want to get away?
It's
throw?
Money.
You
Come
think
on.
So?
Oh, please.
Because he didn't seem to have that same fire after they won the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Bowl.
Why?
I think that a lot of guys on that
And why
team
do you
didn't.
Think? He probably went to the Rooneys and said, hey, see the trophy?
Well, that might be.
How about we rework this deal? And the Rooneys say to him, you know, Bill, we have a philosophy about paying coaches, and you're not going to get yours. Maybe that caused him to lose his interest.
There is a lot of talk that he is very underpaid for the time that he's served.
And I'm not saying that's not an issue.
And for what he's accomplished.
But I think every now and then coaches need to take a year off especially in the NFL when you go so hard. Obviously, I agree with Felger. If they were going to give him $5 million a year, all of a sudden that stress and everything
would probably go away.
Well,
that's the reports that he would have stayed if they had umped him to $6 to $8 million a year.
Well, and you need that extra motivation to kind of rekindle the fire. In his case, maybe it was money. But I think Tom makes a good point. I mean, it's so pressurize that position. It's good to take a year off and realize how much you miss it. Because
but that's
then
not
when
how
you
I'm looking
back,
at it.
You know,
I'm looking at it from the other end. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, coaching's so important in this league. I mean,
you don't let him go.
Maybe they know he's not that good.
You know what? And but you know what? So you pay one guy $4 million. If this guy's worth $6 to $8 million, he's worth it. You
Is
know?
He
I mean,
though?
You know what? I don't think he's a great coach, but.
Well, he's a pretty good coach.
He's a pretty
compared
good coach.
To the NFL, when you're raking the NFL coaches, I mean, come on, Cowher's up near the top.
Here's the thing about Pittsburgh that I think is special. You know, every year you know they're going to hit hard. They're going to play defense.
Right.
There's going to be a Steeler mentality and they have a.
Yeah, and that's Cowher.
That's Cowher. It is. And so, to me, there's no price tag on that. It's teams go decades searching for an identity and for that, and Cowher gives it to you automatically. So you know, instead of spending $124 million totally on your football team, but when it's all said and done, you send $128 million, and you're guaranteed of being a hard-nosed, competitive football team. It's a no-brainer.
You're guaranteed to compete almost every season.
No-brainer.
For the playoffs.
No, I'll give you that. He definitely enables the Joey Porters of the league. All right.
What do you mean by that?
It's just Fred. You're not down here long enough. Sometimes you just got to stop arguing, Felger, and move on. That's the way it goes.
All right,
give them the final word and move on.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com. We got a lot of emails coming in. Anything else? Any other news? Art Shell looks like he's going to.
Yeah, I'm sure
we don't know if he's going
to retire. People are lining up to get that job
or get fired. But one way or another, he's not going to be the coach of the Raiders. And I guess Adam Schefter was right, even though he was. Vilified by the Raiders.
You know who that affects? You know how we always throw the Josh McDaniels young, you know how it's the young coaches are getting jobs now and it's becoming a trend?
Right.
The Raiders are a team where they can't get anyone to coach them.
Right.
So sometimes they have to be forced to go after, like they went after Peyton last year.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that process goes because I can't see anybody in their right mind, any kind of resume, wanting that job.
Well, it's interesting. You talked to Belichick about it. You know, look at the coaches who've been there. They're all offensive guys, every single one through the years, all offensive. And the reason is because they say Al Davis calls the defense. And that's why, no, that's why Eric didn't take that job, because it's a joke. You go out there, and it's Al Davis. That's the side of the ball when he meddles, quote-unquote. That's where he's at,
is
apparently.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, talk to Belichick about it. Yeah, that's, you know, it's, he said it before at the podium even. So, I mean, just go back over the last recent coaches. I mean, Art Schell, I guess, is sort of a tweener, but he was offensive at line. One point. Norv Turner, John Gruden. Let's go
Shanahan.
Down. Yeah, Shanahan, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. We'll see what happens. So there's some coaching availability there with a number of teams. God only knows. I guess Ron Rivera is the hot name.
Is he?
The Bears defensive coordinator.
Norm Chow, too.
Norm Chow, the offensive coordinator for the Titans. Those names have been out there. Kurt Ferentz's name pops up every once in a while. But you got to look at that trend of going from college to pros. It hasn't been worked out
seems
lately.
He's turned down a lot of – he seems pretty happy where he is. So.
Yeah. So.
That's the other thing I don't like, trying to get college coaches when they seem to be happy for – and then you just keep throwing money, money, money. Then they make – then they – okay, now I'll come.
Yeah.
If they're happy in college and they don't really want to come to the pros, you know what? I don't know if I want them taking over my team.
I'm begging Pete Carroll to stay at USC. Why would you ever
he's
leave
not
there?
Going anywhere.
Please don't
he's
go
not
to Arizona.
Going anywhere.
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll is not coming to the NFL so he can coach the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. All right, let's get to some emails. Let's see. Phil from Nova Scotia says, let me get this straight. If the Mangenius wins this Sunday, Tom will kiss Andy's mangina. Yuck. Don't do it, Tom. Say you'll vacuum Paul's house or go BB gun hunting with Fred, but not this. I finally got to see one of you guys. I saw Paul on Patriots All Access last Sunday. Was he on All Access?
I think so, yeah.
See, he doesn't even tell me anymore. He does
it's all over the place.
He just doesn't even tell me.
Yeah.
Good
big.
Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
I must say he was as knowledgeable and articulate as ever, but man, is he pale. He could have played the part of that crazy albino monk in The Da Vinci Code. Maybe one of those other shows that he does could give him some gift certificates to a tanning salon. That's good.
Boy, all of a sudden our appearance is a lightning rod.
This show has become just making fun of us. That's what it is now, because we do it so often to each other. So. Concerning the Jets, I've been quite impressed with the play of Laviavius Coles this year. He may not be one of the NFL's top receivers, but he goes after the ball like a fat man goes after a donut. Am I wrong about him being a real threat?
That's another shot on Paul.
What other Jets players should I be keeping an eye on this Sunday?
Well, I actually think Coles is one of the better receivers in the NFL. He's never really had great quarterbacks throwing him the football. He's got that 4.29 speed that was the fastest guy ever timed at Florida State when he was there.
Yeah.
You know, Kotchery has come on. The receiving-wise, they have big play threats. The problem is they don't have a quarterback with a big arm. Like you said, Fred, they're more the dink and dunk.
Right.
If they had a guy that had that big arm, I think those receivers would be even more productive than they already are.
I mean, Patriots have to be sure tacklers in this game because these guys get a lot of yards after
catch.
And
they'll be short
you know,
completions.
And it's not necessarily screen passes. They just figure it out. They get the defensive line upfield, then they get these guys in space, and then
these guys
just do it on their own. They just make up yards on their own, and they're very good
even
at
Baker's
it.
Pretty athletic for a tight end.
Yeah,
so
They you know, when they get a hand on a guy, there can't be any more launching yourself at the guy with your shoulders and not wrapping him up. You just got to wrap him up. You know, it doesn't have to be beautiful looking tackle. Just
you know,
get him down.
Fred, get off Teddy Bruschi's back.
Oh my goodness! You gotta say James Sanders has looked much better.
Yeah,
tackling,
I love
he's a good tackler.
He's been playing really good.
Good tackler. I still don't trust him on a lot of those deep balls. I mean,
but that's not his strength, and it wasn't in college. He's more of that kind of linebacker safety tweener where he's a sure tackler, a hard hitter. You put him in coverage, that's a mismatch for the other team.
He's a good tackler, though. He's been tackling very well last two months, really.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Who's this? Jim, I'm a first-time emailer. I think without Harrison, the Jets will score 14 points just because Harrison is out. We should score our 21, but since they would have scored 17 with Harrison, I predict a 31-21 Jet victory.
Wow.
That's blasphemous on this program. What the
hell?
31-21 Jets.
What
the
fuck was
that? There's no freaking way that the Jets scored 31 points.
My goodness.
No way.
If they do, he's right.
Then we got some issues.
Yeah. that's a victory.
It's going to be a long off season if that happens. Sam says Pats 28, Jets 14. Pats will rush the ball for over 150 yards.
Let me ask you something totally off the record, totally off the topic.
Yeah.
Tom Casale.
I don't like where this is going.
No, San Diego. Are they weak in the secondary? Is that a weak secondary?
You can get the ball down the field on them. The problem is very few quarterbacks have time to do it.
Is that the deal?
I mean, Jammer has come on a little bit. Like, he's not the bust that he appeared to be at first.
Right.
I wouldn't call him a premier corner. I think Florence on the other side is the real weakness. And if you can get Caldwell on him and give Brady time, I think he can make some plays down the field. But that's the weakness of their defense. The problem is that front seven is so freaking good. You have about 2 seconds to get rid of the ball. Those
right.
guys are in there on every play.
Right.
Well, that'll be kind of a game that they'll have to approach. I remember when they played the Panthers in the Super Bowl. I mean, all the talk was the Panthers' front four, which should have been. I mean, they had a great front four at that time. They were at the peak of their playing. And the Patriots' offensive line with Russ Hochstein mm-hmm. starting neutralized them. And, you know, that's going to be they
and you got a big challenge. You got that Jamal Williams in the middle,
yeah,
taking up two or three
so
guys
good.
At a time.
He's
you look
so
at
good.
Some of those numbers
Phillips
though.
And
you look at some of those numbers, especially when Sean Merriman wasn't there. Tom, I mean, some teams put up some big numbers on him.
Yeah, they did.
They did for and I think
and they still do. I mean, where are they in points allowed?
Well, I know they're seventh in rush.
If you
want to
look at consistency,
they're seventh in points allowed.
If you
I mean, want to
look at consistently good, the Ravens are better. Than San Diego.
Oh yeah.
Now in defense? Flashes, I think San Diego's better than the. But if you,
I mean, I'm curious if the Patriots
look at
are
pure
better.
Pure consistency. Yeah.
Could you make the case that the Patriots have a more trustworthy defense?
On defense, yes. Yeah. But I'm talking about overall team. Defense, yes. Offense, probably no.
You know what the difference is
when
with those three
LaDainian
teams
Thomas
is that the Ravens and Chargers put so much pressure on the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
even when they're not getting there, they're collapsing that pocket all the time. And you don't have time to sit back. Like, you know those teams that play that stupid cover two defense against Brady and let them sit back there all day. They're not going to do that kind of crap. And I think that's where the problem lies. And like Fred, like you said, those two games would come down to the offensive line. How they play will decide those games.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh, speaking of what's going on this weekend, the more I think about it, the more I think that Kansas City has a good shot of knocking off the Colts.
Really?
I think that train has just gone way too far down the
track.
Well,
you know, I picked the Colts, and I'll stick by it, but the more I think about
well,
it,
here's
the Colts'
thing.
Defense.
The more I think about it, the more I think Indy's going to smoke them.
See, I don't think that's possible. Because I don't. When you can't stop the run, you can't stop the run. Nothing's
here's how you
ever
stop the run.
Change.
You go 14 to nothing.
Did they do that against the Dolphins? Because they had Cleo Lemon-led Dolphins coming in a game they had to win to get the third seed, and it was 27-22.
Yeah.
See, that's my point. I thought that they would smoke the Dolphins. I said, you know what? They need this game. They're going to come out. But I don't know. Offensively, they haven't been putting up those kind of points. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts won easy. I'm just thinking to myself, I don't know if they can anymore. I don't know if they have the team that can do that.
Yeah, their window might be shut.
Because I'll tell you, that's other than Tomlinson, that's the last guy they wanted to see was Johnson, the last guy. And it's not like if you load up to stop him, Trent Green can't beat you with Gonzalez and Kinnison down the field either.
I mean, you
it's
just
like
got to say,
can't throw the football.
That game, that first quarter is so important.
It is.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's huge. If it's a game, then yeah, you know, then huge. It is Larry Johnson.
Right.
But if it is a multiple, if Indy gets the flip,
yeah.
and goes down, it's 7-0, and then somehow maybe they get the ball back. I mean, multiple
yeah.
score in the first quarter.
If it's 14-0, it's over.
Right. So I mean, that's weird. It's usually
it's just the Colts haven't really done that in a while. They haven't gotten off to
yeah.
what we're used to seeing that 21-0
Colts lead.
I know.
So often we're looking at, wow, Colts are in a game, you know, and then they pull it out, you know.
See, I mean, what does Kansas City have on defense? I've watched some of Ty Law this year. He seems like he's finally lost that step. He doesn't seem like the same
why,
guy at all.
Why? Because he picked off that screen pass and it took him 10 years to get to the goal line.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, against in the last game, who'd they play? Jacksonville.
Right.
They ran a wide receiver screen.
Oh, you know what? That was a great play by him, though.
Great instinct.
It took him
yeah,
forever to get there.
But he
right.
got there.
Right.
Then you think he's going to walk into the end zone, and you're like, "Run, Ty!"
Right.
But no, you're right. But you know, Jared Allen brings some pressure off
the one guy.
I don't think Kansas City's defense is going to win the game for them. If they win, it's going to be what everyone thinks. It's just they run it. Because, like I said, they can still throw it, too. So if you run Johnson and have success, you open up the play action down the field.
Right.
And I think they would outscore them. I don't think you're going to see them hold the Colts to 14, 17 points. I don't think that's possible.
I'm going to be wishing for that.
Oh, man.
Kansas City
I told you,
window.
I'm gonna buy a Larry Johnson jersey just to root for that game so we don't have to go to San Diego.
And that's all. It's not a matter of who the Patriots match up better in the second game. I just don't want to go to San
and
Diego.
And just think, if we don't want to go, imagine how that sucks for the players. going there 2 days early, 6 hour flight. It's just not the same. But they're playing,
the
Fred. But they're playing. I'm saying.
I know.
We don't have any outcome.
I know,
of the
but
game.
Then we have to stay up all night. I don't want to start whining because
I'm not saying
cares.
It doesn't suck for us. I'm saying that we don't decide the outcome.
I understand. Let's see. Diana writes in, I think the Jets have been given way too much credit.
Again, by who?
Again, the Patriots are the clutch team who has proven themselves repeatedly in the past 5 years of playoff matchups. Just as Chad Pennington is no Tom Brady, Eric Mangini has not come close to surpassing his mentor. Yes, there is animosity between the two coaches started by Belichick, I believe. I think Belichick is determined not to be humiliated by a loss to what he considers an inferior team and coach. That will make a big difference. He will mix it up and confuse the Jets. Well, Diana, I hate to say it, but it's going to make less of a difference what Bill Belichick wants in this game than
right,
you
think. Right, and I agree with Felger. I think most people, if you polled most people, they're under the belief that the Jets have had a nice season. Mangini's done a phenomenal job there coaching. But I don't hear a lot of people saying they're going to make a deep run into the playoffs. I see a lot of people saying their time's going to end this Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where all this was.
Everybody's picking the Patriots.
Yeah.
So
it's not like it's split down the middle and everyone's saying, why are people picking the Jets? No one's picking
Jets. What were the Jets last year, 5-11?
4-12.
4-12. You can't not, you know, give them praise for what they've done. You know, with a new coach and a new system.
And he doesn't even
have
his
players,
really,
for defense.
And when I say
a new system, I mean everything.
Yeah.
You couldn't have more difference in coaching styles than Eric Mangini and Herm Edwards.
Right.
So that was complete overhaul. And, you know, coming back with a quarterback who, you know, we didn't know how he was going to be physically this year. Did he get comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, so there, you know.
And after being wrong for 5 years, Andy Hart finally said something that was actually intelligent. I think it was the Patriots win that kind of brought this team together and made them believe, you know, hey.
That was their turning point.
With this guy selling, we're buying now.
Yeah. I mean, they can't stop the run. They can't run the ball, yet they're 10-6.
You look at their statistics and you say, well, would this team win 4 or 5 games?
Yeah. They did it with boxing tapes and, you know.
They just do little things that kind of win games.
So you can't
like
not
a team
give
in 2001.
Praise. But I haven't heard anyone, you know, using analysis to say that the Jets are going to win this game.
No.
You know.
No, it comes down to do they outwork and outthink. I mean, that's how they won the last game. They
the
were
only,
more talented
right,
the last
that's
time.
That's the only way they
And I think the Patriots just got caught with their pants down. They just weren't ready for that game.
Emotional game against the Colts the week before, you know, a short week.
Yeah.
That happens.
Ben from Boxborough, I'm probably the only person on the planet who thinks this is significant, but I certainly cannot wait for Peyton Manning versus Ty Law in this weekend's
That's
game.
What I just said.
What do you guys think?
I think Law gets smoked. I think that ship has sailed on him being able to run and beat up Marvin Harrison, especially on the turf. I mean, I guess we've underestimated Ty Law before, but
he still has great instincts.
Yeah.
I mean, he can still step in front of a ball and pick it off, but I agree with you.
I mean, the instincts on that wide receiver screen, I did see that play. I mean, that's his brain more than his wheels. I mean, he read the play and made a great instinctual
play. You're right. As far as running down the field with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne,
but he might actually help Herm Edwards, not Herm Edwards, Tony Dungy, with some of the game plan and how to play Peyton Manning. I mean, he played against him in a lot of big games.
No, he is helping Herm Edwards.
Yeah. If he helps Tony Dungy,
right.
that means he's throwing the game. And if he's going to throw the game,
let
me know now
because
I'll retire.
He's helping Herm Edwards, hurting Tony Dungy. Let's see. Ben is also saying he's wondering if you could talk about Ty Law's season. I haven't seen any of his games because I live in New England. Do you think he'll be cut again, or will he stay with the Chiefs?
Well, Herm ain't cutting him.
No.
Ty bent over backwards to get out there with him. He's got a job with Herm for life.
You think so?
Yes.
At what price?
They're buddies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he signed a multi. That wasn't a 1 year deal.
No, I know, but usually at that age, those multi year deals, the last few years don't mean anything.
No, those guys are too close. It's not happening.
Carl Peterson.
Not a lot of depth there
at
cornerback for the Chiefs either.
Trust me, Fred.
Okay. All right.
Ty turned out he had a chance to come here for. I mean, who knows how close the money was? You listen to these guys; it was, you know, pennies. It's probably millions of dollars apart. But anyway,
well,
I mean,
he chose the country club.
Well, he chose, you know, there's also a black thing going on out there. He's prideful of Herm Edwards as being an African-American coach. And
well, that might be.
Ty Law's into that.
I think it's more.
And he wants to support him.
The style of you know, the organization. It's a country club compared to here.
Do you think Ty was here every day in the spring running up and down the stadium steps?
No.
he was fine.
But, you know, there's a certain amount of guilt that is a comfort.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
He doesn't have to feel guilty there.
I don't know how guilty he felt.
No,
he said to me once about, God, what was he? He was talking about Lori Malloy, and he's like, you know, this was his line. He said, you know, Lori Malloy, that guy bled blue and silver here every day in the spring, and look what happened to him. You know what I'll do? I'll park 10 feet behind him and take the spring off. You know, meaning like screw the parking spot.
Right, right.
You know, because look what that gets you. So I don't think he had much guilt going through his head.
10 feet behind him.
Right, you know? And I, you know,
I like that theory.
I wish I could do it, but you know, he just said it in the Ty Law vernacular. You know, it's just funny and entertaining and trashy, you know. Screw it.
Let's see.
Park 10 feet behind him, take the spring off.
Well, it got Lori Malloy 2 more years in New England.
That was totally taken out of context.
Paul is running down here right now. let's see. This is John. I have many questions for you. Hopefully
first of all,
the coaches.
Fred, Paul is never running.
That's true.
Ever.
Hopefully the coaches could hear these questions. One, will Tom Brady be ready for the mixed formations that the Jets throw at them? There seemed to be a lot of confusion at the line of scrimmage, and I hate to say it, Tom looked confused. I don't remember seeing him that confused ever.
Well, Tom was confused.
We were talking about this yesterday in Brady's comment about you guys wouldn't understand it. I would love for him to try and explain to him what was going on for that with that game.
Yeah, well,
I mean, what do you think?
Well, let's try. What do you think?
All the Jets players said after the game that they knew they had to mix it up. They said they frustrated them. We could sense the frustration. And when they knew they had them frustrated, they just kept going after them and after them.
Can I take a stab? Because I went back and watched the tape the other day.
Yeah.
They did in passing situations. They were all milling around. There was no the safety. A lot of times the linebackers were lined up behind the safety. The safety would be up in the box.
Lined up like in a
and
traditional
then they
defense.
Sprint back, you know, into the secondary. One of those things at the line, and so it would be like
you couldn't. There was no line of scrimmage recognition.
Tom Brady loves to call out the mic. He likes to find the strong safety, right? I mean,
and
that's what you do.
No pre-snap look.
And there was no, you know, on most of these passing downs. Now, when they were in base, you could do it. But when it was second and nine, the strong safety would be down here on the tight end, and Barton would be in the deep middle. And then at the snap, they'd switch. And, you know, I think that may have been
part of it.
They
were doing a lot of moving
so
around.
So why doesn't every team do that?
Why aren't there more good coaches in the NFL?
They're running the Tampa cover too, Fred.
Right,
you didn't know that? It's a great defense if you have Derek Brooks, Rondae Barber, Simeon Rice, and Warren Sapp.
Right, right. Well, I mean, if they do that again, what's the fix? How do you overcome that? Because, you know,
cram the ball right down their throat.
Yeah, exactly.
Say, here's Dylan Maroney, stop it.
And they couldn't do that in the last game because the field conditions?
No, they still ran for 140. You know, they just got to figure out how
they
to block
it. They only lost 17-14. It's not like they lost by 30
I
points
understand.
Here. They had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to tie or win.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Two, the question is, can the Patriots answer the bell on defense? Our line got manhandled the last game and seemed soft.
Yeah, and that's I know Warren didn't play. Seymour was out of position. Will Fort kind of got dominated by Mangold.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see a different defensive line this week.
How long do you think Rodney will be out? He limped off the field. In my understanding, it might be possible to see him next week if the Pats win.
No way.
Harrison, no way on Harrison?
No way.
Sometimes MCL, well, that would be 3 weeks.
Yeah, it all depends on how bad that MCL is, I guess.
Oh, I'm hearing 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
Hopefully the Super Bowl, if they are lucky enough to get there.
Plus, you got to remember something. You know, he's getting older now, and when you're a younger guy, you might come back a little bit earlier. He comes back, he's not 100%, he's not as fast. Is he helping your defense? You know what I'm saying? If a 75% Rodney Harrison at this age out there covering guys, I don't know if that's the same as it was a few years ago.
All right. Finally, John says, I tell everyone this game worries me the most. I feel more confident playing the other teams in the AFC. The Jets present problems, confusing problems. Patriots have not played well at home. As a Pats fan, the last 16 weeks, I have seen a quiet Gillette Stadium, and that is sad. We need more noise from the fans.
16 weeks or 16 years?
We are darn quiet. Fans are the 12th man, so I challenge the fans to show up this Sunday at the playoffs and be recognized.
Well, here's what will happen. If the Patriots get up early and are everything's going okay, you might hear some fans. If the Jets do anything at all early, they'll go to sleep. You'll never hear them again.
Yeah, and I think that...
And then that's when the fans need to be loud.
And I think this overconfidence and complacency also will add to it not being very loud.
The world will be shocked. I mean, you talk about Ali shocking the world. If the Jets win this game, Patriots fans will be stunned.
Oh,
stunned.
It'll be humiliating.
Stunned.
You know? I'll be at the top of the list.
I mean...
And this coaching staff?
Belichick will be on a 48-hour suicide watch.
There's no question. You were standing there, Tom, when those assistant coaches came through in Jacksonville, didn't you?
Yep. Where they were saying, sorry, man, genie.
What's up with that?
I just think, to me, and I think the New York writer who wrote it said it best, even though the Patriots won the division over the Jets, the fact that Eric Mangini was on their minds less than 30 seconds after it happened means that Mangini has gotten into their heads. And that's true. Yeah. That's true.
I agree.
Let's see. Justin in Alaska. Hey, Justin. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Oh, no, we haven't.
Yeah.
We could use a new shirt.
With the regular season over, I have time to write again. We've got almost 30 inches of snow in the last week or so I can't get out of the house if I wanted to.
In Alaska, isn't that like rain
that's
here?
It's just the dusting, yeah. Isn't it? Maybe meant feet. Is this Graham's last year? Are the Pats hoping that Dave Thomas will emerge to replace him?
Yes, goodbye. Yep. Gone.
See you later.
Smell
ya. I don't know.
You might have a daily double in Denver, Asante Samuel and Daniel Graham.
Well, here's the thing. The more I'm thinking about it, the more I think they use the franchise tag on Samuel. But you can't use it twice, so that leaves Banta Kane and Graham. I think both those guys are gone.
Also, will the Crafts offer Asante Ty Law money to become the main corner for years to come?
Not a prayer.
If you say false, Andy, do you think he doesn't want to take it to remain in New England? We lose him, all of a sudden Ellis is our main guy, and I like Ellis, but if E.T. has a foot on you, that's not good.
Well, listen, if you're going to spend huge... Samuel's going to do pretty close to what Nate Clemens is going to get. I'd rather have Nate Clemens. Spend that money on Nate Clemens.
Well, here's the thing. I'll use Andy Hart as an example. Say Andy Hart, there was 15 newspapers that were dying to get their hands on Andy Hart. And Fred said, listen, you know, we love you here. We can't compete with the other teams, but we're going to make you an offer. Now, Andy's got a home here. He likes it here. But Andy Hart's going to go listen to those other 15 offers. He's going to see what they have. And if there's one offer that blows him away and it's going to have him financially secure for the rest of his life, he's going to have to think about taking it. And that's what Samuel's in. The Patriots won't give him as much money as some other teams. That's a guarantee. And he's got to go out there. He's a free agent. He wants to see what's out there. And listen, it ain't going to get any better than this. How many more 10 interception seasons do you think Asante Samuel's going to have? I'd say probably none.
None.
So this is it. This is his time. We said like Givens. You know, that was it. That was Givens' time.
Right.
And this is Samuel's time.
All right. We'll see. Three, we need the following and soon. And I mean pre-first game 2007. A new middle linebacker. Is there a free agent that's worth it this year, like Rosie was in 03? B, third down back. Falk has been a great change of pace, but is starting to wear down. I don't think we have anyone on the roster now that would fit that bill. C, more cheerleader on cheerleader action in stalls of local Boston or Anchorage nightclubs. So, a la the Carolina cheerleaders. A wide receiver, I'm thinking that we draft one high, first or second round, another receiver. Or would you want us to pursue a big-name wide receiver in free agency?
And who's that?
Well, that's the question. I don't know. There's nobody really available this year, right?
This year in free agency isn't going to be one of those booming years.
In terms of?
Of just, like, total players.
Oh, there's not a lot of guys out there, no.
No, so it's not going to be...
A ton of money, though.
There's going to be... And that's the problem. There not a lot of guys, a ton of money.
And they'll spend it on guys that aren't that good, which will make it worse for the next year.
It'll mean a team like the Redskins will have even more money to spend on Adam Archuleta and guys like that. So it's going to be tough. As far as the third down back, you know, I think the guy from Rutgers is coming here, so we'll take care of that.
Justin has his best and worst moments of the season.
Okay.
His best... unless the Super Bowl comes. The patchwork defense, we allowed no more than 23 points in one game, and each time we did that, we still won. We gave up fewer points than we ever have, and we rotated secondary players like Paris rotates fiancés. This was a great year for defense, which is why I think we can upset our way to Miami. Worst is twofold. One was losing in Miami the way we lost. Two, Every time on national TV, say Monday night in Minnesota, we could have made a statement we look retarded, such as the game against Denver and Indy. We look like a bunch of freaking drunk tards trying to pee our names in the snow in the middle of July. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would say that the low point was Miami. You can't get much lower than that. You didn't score. You got beat up physically. You know, it's you got out-coached, outplayed. There's not many games that are going to be lower than that for the Patriots.
Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. If Sunday is going to be the last game of the season, I think you better keep the sharp objects away from Bill Belichick. A loss here would be devastating for this franchise, and it's very possible this team could lose. I really did not want to play the Jets, but we play with the hand we are dealt with. I feel we will win 21-10, but something tells me to be very nervous on Sunday.
So we got a lot of fans who aren't in our boat this week, Fred.
Well, they all, but they all, you know, it's, I think it's understandable to be nervous about the Jets. Because they always seem to play us
pretty much
tough.
About any team in the playoffs, because it's a good team.
Right, but I just think that the Patriots have come a long way since that game. They are playing more consistently.
And the thing you said, like you said, well, how are they going to, you know, beat that what the Jets were doing? I don't really have an answer for that because I'm not a coach, but I'm pretty sure Belichick is finding ways
to
do
it. That was sort of like a one-and-done scheme.
And but Belichick has run that same kind of scheme before.
Right.
So he knows what probably works against it, and he knows maybe now where the Jets will go from there.
I just think that, you know, I don't think from the players right up to the coaches they were prepared for that game. And I think you listen to the comments after the game, Richard Seymour, a couple of, you know, we were out-coached and outplayed. And I think that is true. I think
Do you think maybe they were a little overconfident?
I do.
Knowing that it was Mangini and maybe they didn't think he was that great of a coach.
They said we could
out-coach him on our worst day. And all of a sudden, that's the game where it kind of turned around a little bit.
I think that's the game where they realized how much Mangini had, in fact, learned under Bill Belichick.
I think so, too.
And I think they'll be ready for it this year. Let's see. James Edwards says, could the reason this year's team did not play well over an extended period be the result of the new or inexperienced players on both sides of the ball having problems making the adjustments needed to perform Bill's game plans? If it's true, it might have limited them on putting the wrinkles in their game plans that the Patriots use so effectively to confuse their opposition. It could have also made them more susceptible to the game plans of their opposition, as there might have been limited play. So, youth being one of the problems.
I think that played a part. I mean, you get a bunch of new players on your team, it's going to take them time to gel, especially at the receiver position. Quarterback, I really don't care how much time Tom Brady and Rashay Caldwell spend in the summer throwing the ball to each other. I can do any quarterback and receiver can do that. Until you get on the field in game situations and Caldwell has to break off a route or change his route and they're thinking the same like he was with Branch and Givens. Until that happens, everything else is meaningless. So I heard like during training camp we heard, oh, they're staying after. Means nothing to me. That's why I think it took them half a year to get that, you know, to get going a little bit. Now, as we've seen, the passing game is at its best right now, because they've had a full year under their belt together, and Caldwell's come up big. It's, you know, Chad Jackson has really been the one disappointment that we were hoping for a little more out of. But I think now if they have to go to the passing game, you can at least say, well, we have a little faith in it that it can get the job done. In Miami, a little bit before that, no, sir.
Let's see, TG and NJ. Tom, you beat me to it. I was going to comment that now after the terrible loss of Williams in Denver, Belichick and Pioli better rethink their value system in regards to Asante. They might not want to pay the big money, but doesn't it occur to them that their toughest opponents will? Do they really want to face Denver with both Bailey and Asante? Would anybody?
No, and Andy made a good point. Like, that's the perfect spot for Samuel, because we don't believe he's a premier number one corner. Maybe some people do, we don't. But we believe he's a good, solid corner. And if you put him next to Champ Bailey, that's scary.
Yeah. No, for Gary, you know how on Pardon the Interruption they ring the buzzer after a few moments to stop the banter and move on for the next subject? Can we do that for Fred? In the last two shows, between the Ryan Leaf movie rant, the Josh McDaniels, Belichick calling the shots banner, we need a way to stop the madness.
Next time.
I agree.
For the listener's sake, for the team's sake, and for Fred's sake. Screw you.
Fred's ornery this week. You got the Jets coming in.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited.
Playoff time.
I got to do these budgets, year-end budgets.
Oh, God.
Jeez, you know, we've become like a big company. I never had to do these.
Next topic!
You know? It's just pain in the
it's
ass.
It's getting to you, huh?
Really is. Let's see. Shane has a true or false. We'll do this, and then we'll get to a break. Bill Belichick, this is number one. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will win at least two more Super Bowls together. True.
False. I'll say one.
Okay.
Shocker, Fred. You'd think true.
Why wouldn't I? Why is that so unheard of, so crazy for me to believe that? You know?
You
it's
want.
Not like this is the first year that they're together. We have a little bit of empirical evidence to base our opinions on. Two, Chad Jackson will catch at least 50 passes and 7 touchdowns next year. Yesterday it was 30 and 5.
Yeah, I'm going to say false. I'm going to go to the 35-40 range probably.
So I'll say he'll catch more than 50, but he doesn't score 7 touchdowns.
Okay.
The Patriots will force at least 2 turnovers against the Jets.
True.
Yeah. Patriots will finally draft a linebacker in the first round this year.
They better.
False.
It depends on who it is.
You can't say who the Patriots are going to draft, but if they got to address this linebacker position, they have to do it this year. I don't care how they do it.
Is it? I might get some. Five, Lawrence Maroney will develop into a better overall back than Reggie Bush. Overall back.
True.
See, now, if you're going to talk about pure runner.
False.
I'd say Bush is going to be better.
I think Bush is an injury waiting to happen.
Why? Because he's never been injured? That makes a lot of sense. Sit down, Felger. We're talking about college football. You know?
How big is he?
Same size as Tiki Barber. You know how he's been injured a lot, hasn't he? That's the most overrated thing in the world. I don't even want to hear it. The guy's built like a train.
All right.
Six, Ellis Hobbs will be a reliable, above-average starting corner next year.
Yes. I'll say...
Above average, yes.
Slightly above average.
Okay.
Pretty good, you know. Pretty good, but right. They need someone else there.
They need that. Solid...
They can't be. It can't be Ellis Hobbs and somebody else. It's got to be someone else and Ellis Hobbs.
Right. Patriots have overachieved this year based on their talent level.
True.
See, I would say false.
I'd say true.
Other than the wide receivers, I think they've got a lot of talent.
Could tell by all the guys going to Hawaii.
Well, that's another issue.
I'm just saying.
You can't, don't get into that argument.
Yeah, but we named the guys that we thought should be considered, and there wasn't a whole big list of them.
No, but I think, yeah, they don't have a lot of Pro Bowl count, but as far as medium-level talent, I think they're deeper than most teams.
But some of their core guys are starting to get older and not quite as effective as they once were.
And that's true. You know, the Brewskis and the
Vrabels. That's the only argument I would say.
That is true. But I think that they have a lot of talent. I don't think they have.
I'm not saying they don't have any talent, but... I think that's one of the reasons why Bill was so happy with this year is because they had a lot of turnover, and he wasn't quite sure about this team. They went out, they won 12 games, they ended up with one of the four seeds.
Well, they didn't have to have a lot of turnover. I mean, they could have.
Well,
know.
That's what happened. You know, they lost Deion Branch. That was something I don't think they were planning on heading into the season.
No, when healthy, the Pats have the best defensive line in the NFL.
Yeah. I'm just looking at. Best three-man line, San Diego,
well, that's the thing.
Between Williams, Castillo, and Olshansky. That's pretty good, but I'd still take the Pats. I mean, is Carolina overrated?
Yeah, I was thinking more San Diego.
I'll
go with the Patriots because they're more experienced, and, you know, Castillo's only in his second year, so I'll go with New England.
But, I mean, Olshansky or Seymour
Warren? I think the Giants had a pretty good defensive line. You know,
I mean, first of all, if you're going to do it that way, Williams is better than Wilfork.
He's better.
So.
Yeah,
but I was just thinking, you know, who it is, and I'll go with the Patriots.
Okay, what about a healthy Giants line when they're all playing?
No, they don't have the interior.
They
don't have the interior guys that the Patriots have.
Okay, Scott Pioli will be with the team next year.
False.
Really,
true.
You think he's leaving?
Gone.
True.
Okay. Tom Brady is the best QB in the NFL.
True.
True?
Yeah.
Okay, let's let's change that because I would say yes to. I would take him tomorrow for a game over anyone. Let's say there's a NFL expansion draft.
Here we go. This is his Carson Palmer argument.
And you're starting a team, and you can pick any player in the league. Any player.
And it's based on age and everything else
right now. Any player.
Any player, you know what? Forget the league, the universe.
Dan Klecko, Temple University.
That's a tough one.
I mean, I'll pick one. I mean, I'll say that I would.
You would say Carson Palmer.
Well, I'd take Palmer and Rivers potentially over Brady.
Just because of youth?
I'd think about it. They're a little bit younger. They're both bigger.
Because Brady gets hurt a lot. Well, what does bigger have to do with it?
Listen, getting into this argument like makes me say that Brady sucks, which I'm not interested in doing.
No, but I mean, an argument you can't really win.
Why
it's a hypothetical.
Right, exactly.
A factor in your
because
thinking.
Because I think that really the great quarterbacks are big. They just are.
But Brady's like 6'5".
He's 6'4", barely.
You know.
No, he's big enough. There's no question. Philip Rivers, look at him back there in the pocket. I mean, he can really... There's a difference. I'll take
Brady.
Why don't you take the backup from the Giants? The guy's a Mack truck.
The hefty lefty? I would consider a guy like Sean Merriman. No.
I was going to say I'd probably make him too.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, I was thinking about a defensive guy, but you got to get that quarterback.
And you know what? But you know what I like? I like when Patriot fans bring up Merriman's tackles. Listen, I don't care what. They pay Merriman like the Giants paid LT. Get to the quarterback and cause havoc.
Yeah, 62 tackles on the year, huh? 62 tackles, 17 sacks.
Missed four games.
Think of that ratio.
He would have probably broke the record if he, you know.
Now, I mean, how tough are the testing policies? That's what I want to know before the draft. Because he is. I mean, there's just.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a great player,
he's
but.
Not the only
so are a lot of other. So are a lot of the other guys that we would put on that list, I'm sure.
He's a video game character because of. I mean, I think he double cycles. I mean, I think he's taken more.
Or better.
So right, exactly. He's found a good doctor.
It's bad if you take more than just the normal amount of steroids.
Well, you'd get better. I mean, I think that's what happened with Barry Bonds. Everyone was taking juice. He just took more, better.
I think you mean a better brand. If you take more, it doesn't really do anything. There's a certain dose you're supposed to take.
Or a certain whatever. Yeah, you're right.
Saying,
I don't know.
You're saying a better quality of
maybe a
product.
Better quality or a better mixture or a better formula.
You're saying he's got someone working.
A better cocktail.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no coincidence. Did you read the Game of Shadows book?
Game
of Shadows is the Barry Bonds book on Victor Conti. Any sprinter who went to Victor Conti within a year became the fastest man in the world. Victor Conti was the greatest steroid chemist in the world. Hmm. And so anyone who worked with him, for the most part, became a fabulous athlete.
Because he stacked them. He stacked
Whatever he did, I couldn't tell you whether he double-cycled, whether his formulas or his cocktail mixtures or whatever it was, he had it down. And so I think Merriman's in the same boat. He's found someone good.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Got a lot more emails to get to here at PFW Progress.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly... my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
First round draft pick in 2004 to order the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Exclusively from New Orleans Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed in helmet limited to this book and qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress. As we speak, Bill Cowher is announcing his resignation in Pittsburgh after 15 seasons as the Steelers head coach.
And he said something that kind of caught me, that his kids are now grown up.
Yeah.
So now maybe he is ready, if he is going to accept another job, to move, because he said how important it was that his family got to see his kids grow up there and everything. Mm-hmm. Now that he's won the Super Bowl, they're older. Now if he has to go to a Miami or somewhere else, maybe he's ready to make that
question
move.
Is, what are the Rooneys going to ask for in compensation? Because they still, according to reports, he has a year left in his contract, and they're not going to let him just move over to another team.
Well, I think he's going to take a year off.
Yeah, but still, they still feel that he's under contract. The year doesn't go away if you take a year off.
Is that true?
Yes.
What? I don't understand.
He hasn't fulfilled his contract yet. Even if he retired, they still have his rights. Well, yeah, of course there are. But they still have the rights to him as a head coach in the NFL.
So, now does that work? Like when Barry Sanders retired.
Yeah, he had to pay back some of that signing bonus money.
But 2 years later, could he have signed with another team?
Absolutely.
Yes, after he had given back the signing bonus money.
After he gave back the signing bonus. But that was the big thing. The Lions wouldn't let him out of the contract.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I actually went up to Pioli and he laughed at me. I said, why don't you go after Barry Sanders? He just laughed at me. But, you know, I would have loved to have seen him in a Patriot uniform.
It's amazing you're not the director of player personnel, Fred.
Thank God for that. All right, so that's this is a big day in Pittsburgh history, football history. You know, it's not often that a coach lasts 15 years with one club in the NFL.
Yeah, especially after Chuck Knoll.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, they've had four coaches in their history?
Yeah, two coaches for the last how many years?
Yeah. So what are they going to do? I don't know. There's a lot of
vacancies other thing about out there. The other thing about Cowher is that he's proven he's a guy that can win with constant turnover, because the Steelers don't pay anybody. So you have to get a guy in there that's not only a good coach, but can win year after year with not the same players, because once they get somebody good, they're usually gone. And that was something he did pretty good, and that's going to be interesting to see what happens to that team in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a team where you'd go after a Ron Rivera, you know, to keep that kind of that defensive mindset going.
I'm sure he'll be near the top of their list.
But we'll see. This is going to be an interesting offseason.
Here's the thing, though.
Some huge jobs.
Ron Rivera runs the Tampa 2. So now you come to Pittsburgh, you take away the 3-4, you run in the Tampa 2. I'll tell you what, that saggy defense isn't going to work in Pittsburgh. Fans won't like that.
All right. Michael in Texas, is the locker room loose? I think the Pats play best when the locker room is loose. And I'm leaning towards Casale's prediction of a blowout. Mark me down for Pats 27-7.
Yeah, it's pretty loose. I mean, there's wasn't a lot of people there.
Yeah.
It's kind of business. You can tell when the playoffs start, it's more business-like. It's,
was Wilfork there today?
Yeah.
He was? Okay, that's a good sign.
And Watson was there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I like what Dave Thomas, although they didn't go to him last game, but in Jacksonville, he's what mm-hmm. we thought he was.
Yep.
He's a vacuum when it comes to throwing the ball. So I got a feeling that Graham's going to be back next year. Believe it or not, I really do. I think that, you know, the naming him a captain.
Yeah, I know you've put big stock into that. I talked to him, though. It just sounds like he's ready to deal with the market.
What's that?
They're hoping that saves them pennies off the dollar.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that they're looking. They're not going to just let him walk away.
Hey,
they're
Dan,
make it,
you're
make
a captain. You're a big part of this team. Now take less than someone else is going
to They're
going
to make an effort to keep him. Let's put it that way.
Like they made the effort for Ty Law and Deion Branch. I love how people – I had this debate
with someone, too. They made a big effort for Branch.
Fred, they were not even close in terms of upfront money. How big of an effort is it? You know what? I'd love to have that $4 million mansion down the street, but I'm going to offer $1.5. But I really tried.
Look,
although you could afford it if you wanted to.
They thought that their strategy for – they worked hard to get Branch. Now, did they offer him enough?
What does working hard have to do with anything?
They
put a lot of
time and effort
into
bringing him back.
Right. They tried to devise ways to get him to come here for less.
Whatever. They tried to keep him.
But that's they don't deserve credit for that.
That might be a losing battle, though.
Compare that to what they did with Willie McGinnis.
You got
to
pay for most talent.
Right.
There's some guys who will stay here for less. For the most part, Fred, you got
to
pay top dollar.
Compare the effort they put into keeping Branch to Willie McGinnis. They let Willie McGinnis just walk away. I don't think they're going to do that with Graham. I think they're going to make an effort to keep him.
And there's going to be a lot of money out there for Graham because I think other teams feel he can be a bigger part of a passing offense than he has
you
been.
You know, that could be.
And I think he wants to be.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy at Colorado was unstoppable.
But I think that the
What's his status with Tony Gonzalez? How come people are saying he's a free agent? Does he have an out or anything? Because when I look on the free agent list, his contract is not supposed to be up. But everyone treats it like he's...
Nothing that I've heard. Nothing that I've heard about Tony Gonzalez.
Well, would you go after him at his age?
I tell you what, I'd go after Graham.
But Fred,
I think a lot of teams are gonna.
And I think that we're looking at just his past production, which wasn't as what we thought it would be coming out of Colorado. But his value to this team is a lot more than that. And you can see when he came off the injury list and started playing this year, they started doing a lot of things.
Fred, no one's arguing your point.
Particularly in protecting Tom Brady.
But no one's arguing your point. What we're saying is he's going to have value on the open market as well. And are the Patriots, you say the Patriots value him, but how much?
Well, that's
I love that. Enough to make you a captain, enough to give you a good parking spot, enough to tell you how important you are to us. Now take $5 million less to stay here. I mean, that's what they like to do, and some guys go for it. But, you know, if you're banking on doing that going forward with all these good players, it's going to keep going downhill.
Well, you know.
I mean, I love that they put in the effort. Fred, they know exactly what every player is worth and what their market's going to be. I guarantee you, they knew exactly what Adam Vinatieri was going to get. I know that they knew exactly what David Givens was going to get when he entered free agency. I have the same agent, so, I mean, I know these things. And Pioli told the agent.
And I think they put a hell of a lot less effort in keeping David Givens than they did Deion Branch.
Right.
Felger got an agent.
But this whole thing.
Something, you know, for the effort.
David
Givens,
man,
what a big shot. The guy's got his own agent.
They
can't get over that.
You're right. They knew the.
I got the same agent.
And they weren't willing
what
to pay.
What a pompous
that.
SOB.
They weren't willing to pay what the market was going to give.
You sound like an a-hole when I say that, don't I?
You know, they put in virtually zero effort.
My point is that I know the conversations that take place, and they know exactly what players' values are because they told Givens' agent at the start of free agency, listen, this is what you're probably going to get. You know, around 7 to 8 up front, 4-plus a year. You know what you got? Exactly that. And so this whole thing, I hear it all the time with Adam Vinatieri. Oh, he didn't give him a chance to match. Didn't give him a chance to match. They knew exactly what the number was going
to
be. Exactly.
Yeah.
So all this effort, you know, I mean, it's not about effort. It's about putting the dollar sign there that
well,
the player's going to get somewhere else.
I mean, they put a lot of effort into Richard Seymour and Tom Brady, and, you know, they were willing to pay. But you can't deny that they have a certain philosophy, a certain pay structure that they like to abide by.
Of course.
A certain way of dealing out contracts and, you know, sticking to those contracts. And it works for them. It works for them. It ends up with a team that's pretty deep when it comes to your mid-level players.
Define works for them.
They're competitive every year.
Yes. Now, what if that prevents you from winning another championship when if you had spent that money, you're going to win another title?
Maybe. I mean, maybe Deion Branch is here and they'd be the odds-on favorite.
I mean, who's arguing that they're not competitive year in, year out and their system doesn't work? It does. Of course it does. But I think we all look at them with the bar set a little bit higher. This team,
I think they get.
There's a lot of guys in their prime right here on the door of another championship, yeah. And if they don't win it because they wouldn't spend a little extra money, to me, that's not a good thing.
I think they're going to be very careful because they, you know, I hope they learn their lesson with Branch.
Same
that
argument
you can't,
every week.
You know, you can't just, you know, think that everything's going to work out and then get stuck with your pants down.
Paul Perillo is here, and Paul, I don't know if I can stay here anymore. I just had Allison last night. I told her, get the Stop and Shop peanut butter because it was a dollar less, and I find out that Felger's got his own agent. I mean, how much money are you making over there? I'm eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner.
Tell you,
well,
TV,
not even the good peanut butter, and you got your own agent.
Well, TV's the way to go, Tom.
It's
unbelievable. TV and radio. It's print. There's no money in print.
When you sign a contract, you would want to trust yourself to go over all those paragraphs and subsections and what have you?
I'm not signing any contracts. I guess that's the problem.
Paul's here.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Paul.
What's the matter,
it's good
Paul?
To hear. Good to hear you talking about the value system. How'd they ever hear that one?
These two get in the same argument every week. It's just a matter of if it's at the beginning, the middle, or the end of the show.
Well, let's get to some emails then. Doug from Blackstone says, enough of the man lust on this show. Tom has a secret admirer. He has a bet that he might end up with him kissing Andy's butt. And Paul appears to be a new Vinny Testaverde fan. This is a lunchtime show.
You're a jerk.
And none of the above is helping my digestion.
Tom's a giant. I know what Tom was talking about earlier.
On the serious side, I don't have the same feeling about the Jets game. They have played twice this year, and I think the Jets have played better. I hate the Jets with every fiber of my being, and a loss would ruin my whole 2007. Please tell me why you think the Pats will dominate. P.S. Tom, great pick in the Notre Dame game. Thank God I'm not a gambler.
Oh, you picked Notre Dame?
Just joking.
So did I. Got crushed.
It just shows you what a sucker's play gambling is. Tom knows his stuff, and he still missed the mark, as did most others on that game.
I've missed the mark many times over my years. That's why I stopped. Well, I think the trenches. I think the Jets dominated in the trenches last time. They won by 3 points. I think the Patriots dominate in the trenches this time and win by 35 points.
All right.
He's the best.
Well, that's what I think the key is going to be. I think the Patriots are going to be too much on both sides of the ball up front.
Well, I mean, I have to agree. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a 35-point game, but I think this is going to be one of those kind of old-time Patriots wins, Fred, where, you know, maybe they win by 10, but you never really quite get the feeling that they could have lost.
Right.
You know,
right.
23-13, but, right. You know, you're never really sitting there panicking that.
It's like beating the Cowboys, was it last or 2 years ago or last year?
The 12-0 game.
That
would
close,
be an example.
But, no.
It was always close. Yeah. The Cowboys were always a play away from being in the game.
Except they had Quincy Carter.
But you never felt,
they were never going to make that play.
Well, the huge play was that Ty Law interception. That they had that long drive. They got down inside the 20, and he went off his guy, tipped us like a short little dump pass, and somehow caught the deflection. It was, you know, Ty Law at his best.
That was the game that told me that Bill Parcells is a chicken you-know-what, because the Cowboys were blitzing like crazy that year until Deion Branch caught that pass early on in that game, and since that play, they haven't blitzed since.
Talk about making chicken salad out of chicken.
All right.
Thanks, Will.
John says, get off it, Tom. The only gay one is you. Don't destroy your reputation as a journalist by lying in an attempt to divert your gay attention to others.
So what if I'm gay?
You're the one who tries to put yourself in the position of pressing your lips against another man's ass.
Whoa.
You're the one who talks about sex with another man. You're the one who wants another man's body. Don't give me that I ain't gay. He is BS. Think about your career. Many journalists are gay, but not many can survive lies.
The part about me having sex with another man was used in reference to me beating the crap out of somebody, like I used to do when I collected for bookies. And if I find you, I'll show you what I used to do to those people.
Can you give me a little example?
Yeah, you know this plate right here in your mouth? I'm not sure what it's called. You break this right here. That means they need all new front teeth. They need new this bone right up here. You take the back of the head.
I'm a right skid.
Boom. Right like that into a pole or a wall. That's it. You'll get
Fred, I'm a skid.
He's going to get the kick out. Boom, right there.
That's it. You'll get your money. Oh, that was brilliant.
Well, you got to tell
And it's useless if you throw a punch because I'll just dodge it, then I'll pull your shirt over like a hockey player and just beat the living piss
right out of
you.
You got to tell Mike what you're going to do to Bill Polian if he ever yelled at
you. So really, that's the deal? You grab by the back of the neck and bam, right into a pole or a curb?
Yeah, there's
or
too
a...
much. See, people that fight, they use too much punching. What you want to do is the nose in this area right here, no matter how tough you are, once you break this, it's all, the fight's over. It's all over. The blood starts gushing. The bones broke right there.
What you saying, paper champion? I'm going to beat you like a dog.
Why throw a
punch? Woman.
You see, if you throw a punch, it's stupid because the guy could duck it, and then you're in trouble. What you do is you wait for him to throw a punch, then you grab him, then you hit him right there. The fight's over.
Okay.
It's the nose, Felger. It doesn't matter how tough. It doesn't matter how tough you are.
Beautiful hire, my friend.
If you break the nose,
what if you're
it's
like
over.
Not tough at all? Zero.
Well, then you carry
fight.
A gun.
Then don't collect for boogies.
I'm very pleased to hear that yesterday's indiscretions are behind us. Well, now they're not. But on the game planning, I have to side with Fred about who actually comes up with the game plan every week. It clearly falls on the shoulders of the coordinators to come up with the plan. And if it falls within Bill's philosophy, then it gets approved. But come on, guys. He uses all the talent available to him, be it player or coach, every week. So there you go.
What does that mean?
You want to answer that question? Did you talk about what Bill said?
They yelled at me already.
Oh,
but did you talk about what Bill said?
Yeah, you
don't have to yell. I mean,
he takes all the credit for it.
I didn't say that Bill took all the credit.
I didn't say that either.
What did you say?
Well, if you already talked about it, there's no sense of rehashing.
No, go ahead. I'd like to rehash. I want your.
Well, I think Bill makes the game plan. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think Tom asked him about it today, and I would say from the answer, I mean, Bill's not going to say.
Yeah,
I do everything.
No, right.
But from the answer, I would glean that Tom and I were right yesterday. If you, I don't know how you feel about it, Mike, but I think that a head coach like him, that's a hands-on head coach, it's a game plan head coach,
who's a good head coach,
is going to be involved in his game plan. He's going to formulate the game plan and have his assistants implement it.
And I think
they
that,
do the coaching during the week of what he wants them to do. They don't come up with the game plan themselves. Now, do they not have any input in the game plan? Of course not. Everybody's part of it, but I think Bill is the guy who devises that stuff.
And I think that was the case through the last day of Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel as well.
I agree.
And just to let you know what I said, I think the difference in the coordinator is that with the game sheet in his hand on Sunday, Charlie Weiss was better than Josh McDaniels. On Sunday, Bill has a little less control. Even though every play is still going through his headset, he doesn't have that sheet in front of him, and it's not, you know, he'll say yes to some, no to some.
He memorized it all.
But the play caller is more valuable on Sunday, and there's sometimes, you've seen it too, he's done a lot of hands-on coaching on defense where he'll turn his back to the field and go back to the bench area and kneel down and coach some of the defense, he's not even looking at the offense.
He did a boatload of that last year.
Right.
We know that from the players. The players told us that late in the season that he was a lot more involved, you know, and then we saw it during one of the mini camps this year. I forget if it was the veteran mini camp or if it was actually in training camp when he was working extensively with the linebackers.
So he could turn that over to Charlie, and I think you'd be in better shape than with Josh. And that's, you know, Josh is still probably pretty good.
I think he's done a good job because I don't really think, and I said this to you yesterday, Fred, I don't really think they have a whole lot of weapons at their disposal. So for them to have scored as many points this year as they did last year, I know the schedule is a large part of that, but I think that speaks highly of McDaniels.
PJ Nicarella says, I had some fun this week messing with Tom's picks, Fred's comments, and Andy's negativity, but my game face is on now. First off, let me congratulate Fred on his record in the picks contest. Now on to the game. I think this will be a hard-fought game with the Pats taking over in the second half to win by a touchdown. I'm pretty nervous about this one, though. If the Pats do win, I'm not sure who I'm rooting for in the Indy game. I think I'd rather play San Diego instead of Baltimore because of the young quarterback in the playoffs. I also think the Pats are good at stopping an offense that is one-dimensional, and I think the Chargers may be one-dimensional. Either way, the Pats would be underdogs, but I think San Diego would be their best chance. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be tough either way.
I think Baltimore's more beatable, but...
I think Baltimore is going to win the Super Bowl. So
really,
yeah, I think
comes out of the AFC
at quarterback, I think they make enough plays with Clayton and Mason. The defense right now, like I said yesterday, Fred, has that bully swagger back to it that they had. You know, when the Ravens are good, they're bullies. They don't like to be pushed around, but they like to push you around. And that defense has that swagger back, and that's what I really like about them right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, either game's going to be tough.
I really think so.
I mean, it's not like I'm saying, hey, let's go to San Diego because they have Tomlinson, Merriman, and Gates. What an easy win that's going
to
be.
I think you can. I think that it's legitimate, though, to look at San Diego and say, well, you know, Phillip Rivers may be the reason why the
Patriots they're
the
best overall team. Like, I think San Diego's the best. But I'm saying if San Diego and Baltimore end up hooking up together, I think the Baltimore defense will be the difference in that game.
Mm. Okay. Phil from Austin, quick question. Was the Patriots tampering charge against the Jets ever resolved? Well, you want to hear something? Besides the griller, what is that, a hot dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I get in on that?
Sure.
And Tom and I have kind of disagreed about this all week, but I just think against Baltimore, you're almost by definition going to be in one of those 16-13, 13-10 kind of games. I think the Patriots win that. I think they have no problems playing that style. Against San Diego, if San Diego plays the way they want to play, you're in the 20s at the minimum, maybe even higher. I don't like the Patriots' chances in that game.
I agree 1,000%.
And like I said yesterday, I'm factoring in turnovers by the Baltimore defense, not 80-yard drives. If they play the Ravens and don't turn the ball over, then I think Paul is right. I think that the Patriots will win a close game because they have Tom Brady. But I'm just worried about that defense, the way they're getting turnovers, they're getting pressure on the quarterback. It's like I said to Paul, I keep forgetting they have Trevor Price. You know, they have all these stars on defense. You know, you're hearing about
Bart Scott
now. Do they play
a 3-4 base or a 4-3?
They go back and forth.
I think they went 4-3 this year.
They went 4-3, but they do play the 3-4. They throw the 46 in now with Ryan there. And that took about last year they didn't run it very well. This year they're running it a lot better.
Because Ray Lewis is a big baby, they had to change back to a 4-3.
Mm-hmm. Whose defense is better, San Diego's or Baltimore's?
Baltimore.
Okay. What's been more consistent for the Patriots this year, their offense or their defense?
Their defense.
Okay, so that would say that you'd rather have them play San Diego than Baltimore.
But San Diego's the better overall team, I think, too. So it's tough.
It's a tough one.
I think it's a tough coin flip, but based on your logic that you just had, I don't really understand.
Well, if you have more faith in the Patriots' defense.
No. That's not it. It's the faith in the defense compared to that offense. I don't have a tremendous amount of faith in the Patriots' defense against San Diego. And frankly, I don't love them against the Chargers. I mean, the Colts, if it comes to that. I just don't think their defense is very good. I don't think it's the level that it was in 03 and 04. You can hold the Colts to three points. You know, those teams are going to score in the 20s even if they play well.
The Chargers' offense is much different than the Colts' offense. Don't you
think?
Yeah,
they have the best running back on the
Chargers is better.
Yeah, I think they're all more, you know, balanced offense than the Colts.
The Chargers are so tough because you always talk about the young quarterback, but when you have the best running back in the world and the best tight end in the world, he causes an awful lot of mismatches on those defenses,
so
especially if 37's not in there.
So even though the Patriots' defense has been much more consistent this year than their offense, because the Chargers' offense is that much better than anything that the Patriots have played this year, You know.
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I think if they beat the Chargers, they're going to probably score about 27, 28
points to do it.
Basically,
let's put it this way. What would you rather go up against, Baltimore's defense or the Chargers' offense?
Baltimore's defense.
You'd rather go up against
Baltimore?
Same with
me.
Okay. I agree with that.
I think you can score.
Defense smothers the Patriots.
I agree with that.
I think there's a better chance of scoring 14 points in Baltimore and winning 14-10.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They can do.
I think Mark Clayton, though, and Mason, I think they're good receivers. I still don't like the Patriots' secondary. I think they can make some big plays, too. I think here we say, well, the Patriots will make the plays. But in Baltimore, I'm sure they're saying, well, we have McNair, who's gone to the Super Bowl. We have this and that. And
yeah.
Right. The reason that Tom and I haven't really gotten into huge discussions about this or huge arguments about it is because I really think that unless something changes this week, right now, I think the Patriots are underdogs against both of them and should be underdogs against both of them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I don't really think there's a whole lot to choose from. That's why I don't think I'm not really passionate to say,
well,
you're crazy if you fear Baltimore more than San Diego. I think you should fear them both.
But, and I think another thing that plays in the Baltimore factor is the travel thing.
Yeah, it does.
It is. I mean, it's
hands down.
That's a tougher nut.
Hands down would rather go to Baltimore in terms of the team.
And not just us, but players.
No, the team. That's why I said
guys.
in terms of the team.
I mean, you guys know.
I tried to poke around about that a little bit today. I couldn't get anybody to bite.
No.
Ah, the Jets. It's all about the Jets, Mike.
No, I mean, one guy said to me that we'd have to fly out 2 days before. And I don't know if you would or not, but that's, I think, just sort of their impression.
Yep. No, I mean, it sucks. And like I said, I think the Chargers are the best overall team. So that's not going to be any vacation going down there and playing them. If they're on top of their game, the Patriots aren't going to win.
Hey, can I ask you a question? kind of unrelated to our conversation. The offensive player of the year, the AP award, also went to Tomlinson. Were you surprised that an award like that would be closer than the MVP?
Who was second in the MVP? Breeze?
Breeze. But it wasn't close. It was 44 votes for Tomlinson, 4 for Breeze, 2 for Manning.
Jeez.
There's 50 votes in the AP. There's flat 50. You only vote for one guy.
Right.
So it was 44, 4, and 2. The offensive player of the year was...
Same thing, 50 votes, AP?
Yeah. And
I think it was 3-2, and Steven Jackson had one, didn't
he? Yeah, and Breeze, it was the same. Breeze was second, and Manning was third, with Jackson getting one vote for fourth. But Breeze got more votes. I think Breeze got 8 votes or something like that. I just thought it was, I think if an argument is to be made, I would think for the MVP,
the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could make an argument. But exactly. For Offensive Player of the Year, I don't see how anybody could even approach what Tomlinson
did. I agree, and I don't think these, we've had this argument ad nauseum as well, but I don't think people understand what most valuable player means. It's not best player.
But it's not best player either. It's not defined. That's the problem.
Well, I think Drew Brees, you can make an argument very easily what he did to turn around that offense.
But you could also say that he had a lot more, that they had a lot better offense. I mean,
Chargers
there's
are
a lot
the
of
best
things
team in football, and Tomlinson had a
he's
year
the best
that
player on the best team, and a lot of times that gets matched. The MVP. It's
an interesting debate.
Yep.
But unfortunately, it's not defined. Most valuable is not necessarily, doesn't always mean it's strictly most valuable.
It doesn't, but it should. That's what I'm saying.
See, I think the problem they might run into with that is if you make them
Let's
that rule.
Let's give them a Player of the Year award.
But if you say most valuable, then the top two every year are going to be Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. They're the two most valuable players in professional
Depending
football.
Depending on the performance of those teams, though. I mean, they could be as
this
valuable.
This year they'd finish 1-2.
Well, and this year they
Last
should.
Last year they'd finish 1-2.
I think you take LT off San Diego, and I don't think they're a playoff team.
Well, that, yeah.
I don't. No.
I disagree with that entirely.
I think he changes the whole dynamic of what teams do against them.
I do, too.
They have a lot of good players on defense.
They do.
You know what?
They absolutely do, Mike.
He deserves and earns so much attention out there. It opens up everything else. He's the guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink there. There's no doubt about it.
So that's why I think that the strict most valuable thing is a hard thing to do because not everybody leaves the lineup, so you can see what happens when that guy's not in the lineup.
For example,
Michael Vick left the lineup and Atlanta completely fell apart. Now, I think Michael Vick stinks.
Right.
Stinks.
But if the
stinks.
Falcons won a Super Bowl,
I think what Jim Morris Sr. said is true.
Well, the other but
He's
the
a
other
coach
thing
killer,
is
and they'll never develop with him at the quarterback.
They do these awards too quickly. They should wait until the playoffs end and then give the awards because I think that counts.
But I don't think it's based on the playoffs.
But I think it should be.
Why?
Because it counts. How far
you're So, in other words, you could never have a guy even be in consideration if he didn't make the playoffs.
No, I didn't say that.
But you said
you're waiting to the playoffs.
I think you should wait.
I don't think they should. Anyway, I don't think an MVP should come from a bad team.
I don't think so either. Because okay, he's the most valuable player on the team. But what did that value get you?
You didn't say you just said the awards. You didn't say MVP. I would agree with you. An MVP shouldn't come from a non-playoff team. I agree with that.
What if your team's 10-6 and loses a tiebreaker and you have?
Well, did they do the coach of the year?
I mean, Barry Sanders was like the sort of example of that.
Wait till the end of the whole season.
Why? I don't understand that.
Because there might be some things in the playoffs that affect a vote.
I don't think they should. I think it should be a regular season award.
These guys are still playing, Paul.
Fred's just
not,
mad
not in the regular
no
season.
Have won these awards.
No,
so
I
second
could
chance.
Care less.
Not in the regular season. They're not still playing. The regular season's over.
I don't know if you heard yet, Felger, but this team is not about
the
individual.
But you should base it.
That's right. That's life.
You should base it on the
and
same
bit. Flutie and
it yeah, should be range. Based on the same body
Those
of work.
Just random.
Yeah, but they're not into numbers.
They didn't call the press box to see how many yards Corey Dillon needed to pass O.J. Simpson or anything.
Oh, did they? Love that detail. So awesome.
How did you miss that? That was like out in front of everybody.
Meaning what?
That
meaning
happened like in the
right
press box. How did you miss it? You were right there.
I wasn't right there. I think we were
Actually,
down
no,
the line.
You were a little farther
we
away
were
than
farther
we
farther away.
But
That's
we
so awesome.
Believe me, Tom didn't just blow the lid off of that one.
God bless you.
Let's make sure everybody in the Patriots knows that.
Oh, no, that was in front
that
of
was,
everybody.
That was common That's knowledge in the press box.
Phil from Austin wants to know if there's any result of the Patriots tampering charge against the Jets.
Phil, do you get anything on that?
Meaning what?
You hear anything about that tampering charge with the Jets and Branch?
What
and
my
crap?
People told me is that the case was heard.
My people.
And the arguments were made, and it's been presented for the league, and
that means his agent.
They have yet to do anything for with it. No, not agent. Okay. It's not that uncommon. It's not
watching my nephews play
saying,
ball.
That he has an agent. It's not. They all do.
I'm not saying all that the, it's uncommon. I'm
all
saying
of us Jamokes have.
It's funny so. Because you're sitting there in a baseball hat and you look just like me, and here I am. You know,
I'm a putz.
I can barely pay my rent, and you're over here. You got an agent.
Well,
where I enjoy watching my nephews play ball, actually more than stepping on the field myself.
Is he still talking down there?
I don't know if I can be on your show anymore, Felger. I feel like I'm not in your class.
Well, there's no show you can be on then, because most of us Jamokes have it.
Ben from Salem, Mass. Says, my wife, Felge, this is aimed at, says, my wife thinks you're hot, and we both love your TV show.
At least she got women after you.
More importantly, though, could you please stage an intervention and convince John Tomasi to cut those bangs?
Yeah, he's got to figure out what he's doing with that look.
All right.
Let's do some player interviews
here, Fred.
Take a
break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much.
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
3, 2, and it is the Mike Felger Show, Patriots Friday, live from Gillette Stadium. Let's get right back to our player interviews. Troy Brown, Patriots receiver, joins us now in the bowels of Gillette, just fresh off of practice. Troy, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Hold on 1 second. Hit that red button right in front of you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. You have a good New Year?
Had a great New Year. Had a great day. Came in and ended the year with the win, so
right.
Hopefully we can start it with the win.
Did you y'all go out? Did the plane land in time for midnight? Or
yeah, we got back in time. I actually got home. It was about 10:30 or so. Got mm-hmm. home, walked in the front door. So it was all good. We had the Smiths over. Otis Smith and his family was over with the kids.
There you go.
They were still up running wild. So I had a good time.
Excellent. How's this week been? You can feel it's the playoffs, can't you?
Yeah, it's definitely a different feeling now. You know, it's a little more intense, and our practice is a little more sharp, and guys are in tune into it, and hopefully we can transfer it over to the field and have a good day on Sunday also.
Does the whole sort of hype and build up seep through to, I mean, you just walk through the locker room and the media contingent is doubled or tripled.
Triple.
You have all the New Yorkers, all the national cameras, yeah. And, you know, the networks come in and they sit you aside for one-on-ones with whoever, Phil Simms or, you know, whatever you're doing. Can you just sort of sense the build up in that respect as you go through a week?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you see the extra media in there, guys who aren't used to talking to the different players, and just much more crowded in there now than it was during the regular season. And like I said, just the interviews are a little different, you know, the TV interviews and stuff with Phil Simms and those guys, and just the type of questions they ask. And
do you like it or do you hate it?
It's okay. It's part of the job. You know what I mean? I do it if I'm asked to do it, you know, but I kind of stay away from it if I can. But, you know, it's part of the job. It's part of what drives our business as media. So,
you know, it beats the alternative.
What's that?
Not being in the playoffs
and
having no one ask you for interviews.
Of course, that was a stupid question. Yeah. But no, it definitely beats the alternative. You know, I would definitely rather be doing this than sitting at home and doing what some of those other guys do, join NFL Network for the playoffs and go to different locker rooms. So this is much better than that.
All right, Troy, before we get to the Jets, just a few items on the Titans game, which I thought was a really fabulous football game. I just, you know, it was dirty.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was chippy. It was dirty. It was
rainy,
nasty.
Yeah.
I don't know, there was points and big plays. I thought it was just a great game in what we thought was going to be sort of a throwaway game like that Miami game. Do you think you guys changed how you approached that game once Rodney went down and you saw Jeff Fisher sort of mocking Harrison's injury? Did you guys maybe play a little bit longer than you thought you would have?
No, I don't think so. I think we went into the game thinking we were going to play the whole game anyway. Because we Bill didn't tell us anything about, you know, taking this many plays off of playing a quarter. I mean, he didn't say anything about play time at all. And we just approached it like a regular game because we wanted to go out there and win anyway. I mean, we're competitors. And if we're out there playing, we want to win, especially like individual batters, and win the game. And that's what it came down to. But, you know, I don't think Rodney's injury or his play changed how we looked at the game. It was just we knew it was going to be kind of physical. We saw some of these guys on tape playing the same way in games earlier this season. So we knew what it was going to be like. And, you know, but, you know, it happened. And, you know, things got a little tested there for a while. And the officials came back in the second half. And they got the game pretty much under control. And we just went out and played from there.
Are they dirty, the Titans?
Yeah, I thought of some of the plays were, you know, uncalled for, and just some of the things that they did, extra things they did at the plays. You could see it on tape. I mean, just wasn't called for. I mean, just play between the whistles and let that be it. You know, you make a big hit, make a big hit, and let that be it. You don't have to get up there and push guys in the face after the play and drive guys over the pile after the play's done. You know, just a lot of unnecessary things that were done. And then to have, you know, another player from another team get hurt, and then your head coach is there snickering about it, and the player who did it snickering about it. I mean, you don't know if it's career ending or not. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you lay a guy out and the guy's knocked out, you're going to be worried about him naturally. You're not going to stand up, go to the sideline and high-five your boys and laugh about it, you know.
Right.
And once you see the guy down, you're going to be concerned about him, you know, and you don't sit there and laugh about it. So, I mean, that's what really ticked me off about the whole thing.
And that's what, you know, talking to some other players after the game, that was sort of the moment that sort of turned. And one guy told me that he saw Fisher – like wink at his guys.
Yeah, a couple guys just said he was winking at him when they looked over at the sideline. He was winking at him and stuff like that and snickering. And, you know, the player who did it was snickering. A couple other players were laughing about it, you know. You know, that's the way they play ball. That's the way they play ball. But, you know, I mean, it's uncalled for. They don't realize that we're in this thing together. We're all players. We all want to play for a long time. We all want to make a lot of money. And, you know, I mean, if it's a legal block, it's a legal block, but it's nothing to laugh at when a guy gets hurt.
Well, was that an illegal block? The league said it was legal.
It depends on, I mean, the league, the rule is if you come from outside in, you have to be past 5 yards past the line of scrimmage to make that block if you cut block. And I guess it was borderline there if he was past within the 5 yard, you know, block there. But, you know, I don't know. I didn't look at it really good. And I just saw the hit, and it got him right on the knee. So,
Troy, it was maybe a snap or two after the Rodney Harrison hit where all of a sudden I'm watching, and out of the corner of my eye, I see you locked in with a Titans defensive back just sort of flying across my field of vision like you guys locked up at one point and then just, like, carried each other 20 yards down the field. I never seen that from you. What was that, Doug? What was going on there?
That particular guy, he was one of the main guys that we pointed out on tape that was one of those types of players. And I knew at some point, you know, I didn't think it would get to that point, but you know, I knew he was one of those guys that did the extra stuff, trying to put his forearms up under your chin and in your neck and give you an extra little something up under there to, you know, let you know he's there.
Who was it?
And Finnegan, 31.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew it was going to happen sooner or later, but, you know, he just gave me one of those things under the chin, and I just wasn't going to take it, you know, and gave him a couple of shoves. I think one of my guys got involved in with it, and then one of their guys came off the bench, and then I don't know.
See,
I expect myself going to the ground, just gave him a little hip toss there. So
it's Troy Brown here on 890, and Troy, I loved the way you guys reacted to it. I mean, because it's week 17, you're in the playoffs, you could have taken that day off, and yet they challenged you in a way, and you stood up to them and buried their face in it and won by 3 scores, and you know, I just thought it was a good sort of sign of who you guys are. It's why what happened last year against Miami, frankly, I never felt that great about, because you guys are about winning on Sunday and not sort of, you know, being so cavalier about whether we win or lose.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and it just wasn't them trying to take it out on us. I think they played that way the whole year, pretty much just looking at the tape. And, you know, you're not going to just lay down and get punked, but at the same time, it was a couple, you know, bad penalties in there that we got. Mine was a bad penalty. You know, I could have restrained myself a little better than what I did, but but you just gotta, you know, at some point, you know, when you're gonna stand up, you know, for yourself.
It's good stuff, Troy. And so going into the postseason, you think that sort of game, there's benefit to that game. Now going from a momentum,
I think it was a tough football game, and most of our players played the whole game, and you know, we went up on them, they came back, and went up on them, they came back, and. And we just kept fighting, you know, to find a way to win the game. And finally we pulled off at the end there, like, you know, it should be, where, you know, hopefully we can take a little momentum into the game, you know, with the 3-game winning streak here, as opposed to losing that game and having to, you know, build your confidence back up again. And right now, you know, I think we beat some pretty good teams again this season and put some points up. We moved the ball and, you know, hopefully we can carry that over to Sunday.
Schematically, what did the Jets do against you on defense?
She beat us up the last game. You know, they just came at us, blitzed a lot. We couldn't pick them all up. And They stuffed the run and couldn't get open. I mean, you name it, they did it against us, you know, and they just outplayed us in all aspects of the game, and we couldn't find a way to get an answer for it.
Was pre-snap recognition a problem? And I went back and watched the game the other day, and I thought they did a great job, the Jets did, in your passing situations of bringing safeties up and linebackers back and sort of all milling them in that middle area of the field, all just sort of walking around. And then at the snap, some guys would spring back into coverage, some guys would rush the passer, and I don't know. Did you have a tough time figuring out who was coming and who was coming?
You don't know where they're going to end up at. You know, it's right. Always a problem. You know, you just got to, you know, find a way to pick it up and find a way to get open if they drop out. You know, it's just that's why they do it. They're not doing it to make it easy, you know, so they make it tough on you. And they did a great job of doing it, and they executed their plays much better than we did on both sides of the ball.
You guys out-coached that day?
We out-coached, outplayed everything that day. You know, you saw the game. Yeah. We didn't do much until pretty much the game was almost over there. And we finally got on the board.
Were you sleepwalking a little bit? Did they catch you napping?
I don't think we were sleepwalking. We just got outplayed, man. We came out. You know, it's a division game. You know, you sleepwalking in those games, you need to be fired. But they just outplayed us. They had a better game plan than we did, and they executed theirs better than us. And they were just playing with a lot more energy than we were.
Was that you had played Baltimore Colts? They moved about 30 years ago. The Indy Colts on the primetime game the week before, coming off a pretty bad loss there. Was there a little bit of a hangover effect?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the Colts game is, I mean, all those games, these are all AFC games, and then you go back to the AFC East. You know, the build-up is there. I mean, you have, our guys were excited about playing in the game, you know, and for whatever reason, we went out there and we just didn't play well. And it wasn't just us. It was them playing better than we. I mean, they played a much better game than we did. They had more energy. They made more plays. They made more sacks. They got to Tom. They got to the receivers. They got to the running backs. I mean, they just made more plays than we did, and they won the game, and it showed.
Do you think, Troy, that Eric Mangini has an advantage over your staff in that Eric was here for all those years? He's inside the meetings. He knows exactly what everyone here does well and not and does not do well. He knows how what their little specific weaknesses are. And I'm not saying Belichick doesn't know the Jets. He knows them. But Eric, you figure, has to know the personnel here better. Do you think that gives him an inherent advantage?
Yeah, you know, I can't. Who knows? I mean, but it's a lot of new football players on this team also. There's a lot of new guys there too. And some guys are still the same. And some guys we studied for years. You know, they got players that have been on that team for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years that, you know, we know pretty well too. And it's not a case of just, you know, knowing the personnel well enough. It's just who puts the better the put together the best game plan and the guys that makes it work the best. And obviously the last game they did theirs a lot better than we did. And, you know, so we just try to turn that around this week and stay alive for one more week.
Is Kerry Rhodes keeping him off the line of scrimmage important? Keeping him out of the box, keeping him honest?
You know, he makes a lot of plays, man. He's always involved and he's always around the ball. He's in the backfield. He's out in the secondary making plays and he's got, you know, some interceptions, a bunch of sacks for a safety. And he just seems to be around the ball somewhere. So a count from him is definitely going to be, you know, he's always been a problem for every team, but it's going to be definitely a problem this week, you know. And he's just a pretty darn good football player, you know, in his second season already.
Okay, Troy, keys to the game for the Patriots offense. What are they?
Just don't make any mistakes. You know, don't turn the ball over. Convert on third downs and score touchdowns. You know, that's the only way you can beat this football team is got to be able to convert and not turn the ball over because they're pretty good on offense also. And you don't want to be punting the ball to Washington either. He's a pretty darn good punt returner also.
Troy, I know you don't like the artificial field and you don't want to put any stock into it, but I think a lot of guys felt that field didn't help you out the last time and now you got it all straight. Are you looking forward to playing on a real field?
We won the same field we won.
Yeah.
So and I think the cliques are pretty similar. So I don't know where that came from, but they won the same field on, so they made more plays than we did, and they pushed us around with the offensive line, and we couldn't push them around with ours. So, I mean, they just outplayed us.
Okay, Troy. Good luck on Sunday. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, man.
We'll catch you next week. Troy Brown Show, are you going to do the Troy Brown Show next week if you keep winning?
I'm going to do it again with the grab-ass stuff that you talked about.
So it's good grab. I'm not saying it's bad grab-ass. It's good grab-ass. Was one of the 10 takes with Troy last night? What do you think of Felger?
Yeah.
How'd I do?
I didn't think much of it.
Shocker.
The fake Christmas trees and all that comedy.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Troy. Right. It's Troy Brown here on 890 ESPN. We'll get back to the talk with you. It's 890 ESPN. Let's go running. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Back here in PFW in Progress, that was Mike Felger interviewing Troy Brown as he does every week. And Troy's good.
His stuff on Tennessee was great.
He's progressed a lot when it comes to this kind of stuff. And he's getting ready for his post-career.
I mean, I don't know if you ever listened to the Troy Brown show on 890 ESPN. He does the whole hour. Comes in and, you know, goes in and out of a few breaks.
You don't want to, you know, jerk the quarterback off.
He hits the bump?
He does. He comes out of the bump.
All right, let's...
Or the post? What is it called? The bump or the post?
Hitting the post?
The post. Post?
When you hit the post, that's when you stop right at...
What?
Oh.
When you stop talking right when you're supposed to.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know this lingo.
I don't have an agent. There's no question the fact that you don't know...
I don't have an agent. I'm sorry.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. We got about 12 minutes for
Tom,
the show.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
It's just a matter of time before Pip over here.
I was going to ask him, do you have one, Paul? Because I had a feeling maybe you were sneaking around there with an agent. And you
I don't have an agent.
I was Paul's first agent.
Oh, okay. And you are still my only agent.
That explains your mediocre rise to success.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And also, you know, the quick meteoric rise that took 8.5 years.
Let's see. So webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Ken in Johnston, Vermont. Here's a thought for you guys. The Patriots versus Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Branch against Samuel. That would be a great matchup. Did any of you guys ever see that matchup in practice when Branch was here? Branch would beat anybody in practice.
Yeah, I didn't see it because I never saw Branch practice.
Branch would be an amazingly difficult matchup, I would think, for anybody in a practice setting where you're not...
One-on-one.
Yeah. You can't jam them, really.
Yeah, I mean, you can jam, but it's not 100%, you know, you're not going... He's a tough guy. I mean, Troy Brown is almost impossible to cover in training camp, and he doesn't have... With all due respect to Troy, I don't think he has the same quickness and speed that he had probably 5 years ago.
Deion Branch was a great practice player.
Yes.
His first rookie minicamp, he looked awesome. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't guard him.
Yep. Ron and Raymond says, personally, I don't think the Colts have the heart to go anywhere in the playoffs. Peyton is great, and I'd take him in a heartbeat if we didn't have Brady. Won't be surprised a bit to see the Chiefs beat them, though. Maybe I'll pull a Tom and guarantee a Chiefs win. Please don't be offended that I love Mike's show. I still love you guys, even Tom, as annoying as he can be.
Oh, well, there you go.
So Ron loves your show.
Well, he must love annoying people. He listens to Felger.
Wow.
Felger's show's fine. I like Felger's show.
If I could get it, I'd listen to it. When are you going to work on that?
It's being worked on right now. Yeah? It's why, actually, this last couple of weeks, there's going to be times when you won't be able to hear it, even worse than usual, exactly. But they're doubling the nighttime signal, and the way they do it is... Some nights it's pumped up, some nights it's pumped down, and they're just sort of tweaking it. But the nights that they've pumped it up, you can really tell the difference.
Can ESPN
here we go.
Rent space on a smaller station that's in this area? Sort of like what EEI does with Providence. But
you don't get 890 when you drive out of the parking lot here?
I get it all the way to my house.
Me too.
As soon as I get past the stadium, I lose it.
I don't know why, Felge. I have no problems generally from here all the way home to Peabody.
Yeah, but you're
that's
going
a long
towards
ride.
Same, yeah, it is.
You're going towards it.
Yeah, see, Fred's going the other way.
Andy's
the same thing. He says he can't get it once he's out.
Once I'm out of the range of the stadium, I lose.
No, we don't have a great signal.
Felger, I think you have a good show. I only have one problem with it.
Yeah.
Thursday, you have a co-host that I don't care for. I can't think of his name, but he's an annoying, cocky little guy that I just can't stand his voice.
He is the most annoying guy to argue with ever.
Who?
He
Andy?
Does.
Yeah.
Andy gets under my skin
Fred's
so badly.
There's no question, but
orange
Fred
firewater.
If you argue with Fred enough, Fred will. If you beat him. Fred changes.
I was sick of it because
it sucked. He does it seamlessly.
I don't mind that. This is what Andy Hart does.
Puts words in your mouth.
He puts words in your mouth and marginalizes your argument. So I'll say that I think that the Pats have a better, just for example, they have a better shot against Baltimore than San Diego. And he'll go, but there's no way they can beat the Chargers. you say there's no way they can beat the Chargers.
That's exactly what Andy Hart would do.
And all I'm saying is that if given one or the other, I think maybe they'd be better off. I'm not saying, you know, but he does that with everything.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in.
And then he'll repeat it nonstop. Well, according to Felger, they can't beat the Chargers.
Right. Exactly.
The four of us, I think, are all kind of hard to argue with. But I think
he's the worst.
That characterization of Andy is 100% accurate.
Makes me want It's not to argue, it's just to bug you.
And he's very, very good at it.
So good at it. I like him on the show. He's always welcome. There are times I want to kick him out of the studio.
I like listening. Fred did that once, you know. Did you ever hear that story?
No.
Fred kicked during Super Bowl week in Jacksonville. They were arguing about Corey Dillon, and Andy said something he shouldn't have said, and Fred just looked at him and said, go. get out.
Principal's office.
All right, Shane in Miami. Regarding a possible second-round matchup against the Chargers or Ravens, I think Tom has said that the Chargers would be a nightmare matchup for the Patriots. However, if he can hold LT under 100 yards, which makes this D, which against this D is realistic, I don't think that Phillip Rivers is going to beat this team. Gates is the only serious passing weapon they have, and he's not having one of his typical years. The Ravens D could totally dominate a team
passes.
A la Dolphins. That would be hard to overcome. McNair is not going to make many mistakes, and his wideouts are actually pretty good. My vote goes for playing the Chargers.
Well, first of all, Tom wants to play the Chargers, not the Ravens. It was me that thinks that San Diego is tougher.
Well, the premise of holding LT under 100 yards, it's not just the rushing. It's also what he does.
Yeah, first of all, that's a great little premise. And if you can tell me beforehand that you're going to do that, then maybe I might change my mind.
And you don't
do that to him.
This argument's kind of like the Manning-Brady argument. It's a fine line. I mean, they're both very good teams. But Vincent Jackson's come on a little bit for him at receiver. I know they don't have great receivers, but Gates is a nightmare matchup for anybody. And if you don't have Harrison in there, he caught 71 passes. That's still a pretty good year for a tight end. And Rivers, one thing I'll say about him, he's older than he is. He always has been. He in college, he was beyond his years.
Well, people
took over this year. He's beyond his years, and he's a smart guy.
It's third year in the league. People treat him like a rookie.
And a couple of things, too, that it's going to sound strange when I say it, but things that I feel from a San Diego perspective were encouraging. He had two really bad games in December, one against Kansas City that was nationally televised and one the following week at Seattle. However, as badly as he played, I think he was something like 5 for 21 in the Kansas City game. They get within 14-9 late in that game. They needed a couple of first downs. He throws a perfect bomb to Vincent Jackson that gets him down inside the 5-yard line. They kick the field goal and won that game. The next week, he was 10 for 30, a terrible game, but he throws an absolute beautiful rope on a post pattern for a touchdown, I think to Jackson again, for a touchdown in the last 30 seconds. So even though he had a bad game throughout, he found ways to make plays at the end that helped his team win the game. I think that's an encouraging sign
NFL,
from the Chargers' perspective.
NFL fourth quarter passing leaders, Phillip Rivers, number one in the fourth quarter this year, 66%, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, 116 rating.
And I mean, I think that's pretty impressive.
Back a lot against.
I mean, that's what you're talking about right there. I mean, that's why that's why, again, in my pseudo expansion draft, Rivers is Rivers, Palmer, Brady, pick 'em. 1, 2, 3.
Right, you think that highly of Rivers?
Oh
huh?
Yeah,
I like Rivers. I don't know if I put him
3 weeks ago, didn't you, Felger?
What's that?
You thought that highly of Romo 3 weeks ago when you gave me.
No, I never put him there.
But you said all I got to do is see a quarterback play once or twice, and I can tell if he's going to be good.
Well, Romo, I never felt that way that he was going to be good overall. I just knew he was better than Bledsoe and was going to win you more games than Bledsoe. But, I don't know if Romo is a great player.
But did he?
Sure.
No.
Absolutely did.
9-7. Same.
No, they wouldn't have been 9-7 with Drew.
They
were
9-7 last year with Drew.
They were going downhill fast,
he's
right?
He's wavering.
And he's only getting worse.
He told me he was great.
They were 9-7 last year with Drew.
Paul, tell me the last time Drew had a better second half than first half.
This is not a pro Bledsoe argument. It's not.
Right.
I'm not trying to make it a pro Bledsoe. I'm just trying to say.
I'm trying to tell you that.
This has been my little hammering point all year about Dallas. They continue to want to blame it on the quarterback. There are a lot of other problems there. The team
is
just not that good.
Sure there are. And
Tom has been telling me for 2 years that Roy Williams is the most overrated player in the league, and I think he's right. That defense is not that good.
And Bledsoe keeps getting worse.
And that's
why he went 9-7 last year. Means it's 8-8 or 7-9 this year. Probably 6-10 if he keeps playing.
Well, I think Paul's point, though, is with that team.
You can blame it on the quarterback all you want.
Bledsoe probably wouldn't have done any better or worse than Romo's done.
Oh, I disagree entirely.
All right.
Entirely.
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
I think Romo's played fine. They went 9-7.
That game against the Giants, the ball across his body to the tight end down the field. Bledsoe didn't make that play. Not even close.
Yeah, but
the guy was wide open.
What about all the fumbles and interceptions Romo's had? I mean, you know, they both. I don't know.
Hey, Bledsoe played about as badly as you can play in the first five games of the season. You can't play that badly.
And he wasn't getting any better.
And it's a moot point.
Well,
because
why?
The Cowboys had to go to a younger quarterback.
That's stupid.
They had to see what Romo could
do.
So that was the bottom line. There was no sense.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely the right move. He was playing terrible football. I told you that. I'd agree with that when they made the move.
Earlier, Tom was talking about his technique for eliciting money out of people.
Yes.
Andy in Sioux City says, Tom, could you please put those bookie face-smashing moves on Patriots today so we can get a visual? I hate to look ahead, but since we know the Jets are going down by at least 18, which team do we match up best against? And we talked about that at length already. Let's see. Another
hey,
one.
Hey, Fred,
yes?
Let me interrupt you for a second. When you were reading all the emails. There was an email that came in last night that I happened to see when I was working from home. The guy that told me I needed to get to a tanning salon?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys read that?
Yeah, we did that one.
My wife got a big kick out of that.
Fred, you must be working with some kind of degenerate gambling thug relocation program. I think Tom is great, but the more I hear about his past,
the more scared I get.
Makes me wonder if they should reopen Alcatraz.
Hey, I'm a changed man. You can't change in this country.
I have to sit near him on the plane too. One of these weeks, he's going to bump me right out the outside when right as the steward is getting ready to close the door, bang.
P.S. to Tom, I know someone who owes me $1,500. How much for a broken leg? What were your rates, by the way?
This was something where do I have to get into my entire
past
now?
No, let's not do that.
But I mean, give me more of this.
Next topic.
Well, no, I owed somebody a lot of money, and this was the way I worked it off. Okay, that's what happened.
I see.
See, when you're in that kind of world, you got to do what you can sometimes.
Yep. Was it always that bone right here that you went for, or sometimes would a broken thumb get the job done? Or
that's if they went after me too. I mean, people will go after you and stuff.
Okay, so what sort of a mild, so you're saying that's sort of a heavy duty sort of thing. If you're just want to apply some gentle pressure, Tommy, what are you doing?
Joe wants his money.
Okay, and then what's the next step after that?
What's
the progression?
You say, Joe wants his money. He sent me to tell you. You don't want me to come back. You don't want to see me again. Okay, because if I have to come back, I'm going to have to do some things that I don't want to do, and you don't want me to do, and nobody wants them done. So come up with a payment plan. Give them half. Do something. These are people that just wouldn't pay.
Dylan and Tom in the locker room.
These are just people that would, some people go on a payment plan right away. They're fine. These are people that we're trying to ditch. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So then, what's the next step after that? What if you come back?
If I come back, then things could get ugly.
Well, you catch them unawares,
huh?
You don't walk up and say, "Hey, I'm back."
You
catch them unawares.
No, you knock them. You knock on the door.
Right. Well,
as soon as
they open it, bang!
I only did this for a couple of months to pay. It wasn't like I enjoyed it. I don't like hurting innocent people.
I'm not saying you do,
but if I didn't hurt innocent people, I was going to get hurt, so I was put in a bad situation.
And they weren't innocent if they owed a lot of money.
Yeah, and they were trying to ditch.
Shovel a driveway or anything.
I wasn't trying to ditch. I said, I'll beat people up for you if you don't beat me up.
Well, you could start a pyramid scheme and have them beat people up.
I had a kid that I knew growing up in Everett, and I know, Fred, you might be surprised, but there's a little gambling going on in Everett.
In Everett? No.
I don't know. No, seriously. Seriously.
Maybe Revere, but not Everett.
How about a hair salon? Can I find a good hair salon in Everett?
Absolutely. Gina D's.
How about a girl named Marie? Any
that gay
Marie?
Guy that likes me is from Revere.
Any roast beef?
No, this is Everett, not Revere. Roast beef? Mike's roast beef.
Oh, yeah. I hit that regularly.
You do?
Absolutely.
Solid place.
Yes.
No solid questions. Establishment. Anyway, a very, very good friend of mine in high school. A couple of years after we got done in school and out of college, he got in a lot of trouble, right? He owed so much money. This is not a Glory Day song. He owed so much money that the bookie would take him every Friday. You talk about payment plans? He would take him every Friday. He would get his check. They would go to the bank.
Oh, goodness.
He would give him $10 and take the rest of the check every week for 2.5 years.
2.5 years. So was this guy, working on the side?
That's how much he owed.
Oh, my God. All right, with that, word of wisdom, we're going to wrap up this show. We will see you next Tuesday back on PFW Progress. And I'm saying Tuesday because I'm saying the Patriots are going to win.
See you next Tuesday.
All right.